When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, my friends.
Everybody. Everyone. Take notice. The best show is underway. Whole gang's here. AP Mike is here tonight. You're here, right? Good. Are you fired up? Oh. Got here an hour early. Unbelievable. Hour early. The neighborhood watch must have had a field day with that one. Dudio's here. Chat, is he here? Oh, there he is. Oh, he's right here. Oh, boy. Dudio's here. I got a story to tell about him. No one is innocent anymore with this crew. Pat Byrne is here. Pat's innocent. Pat, unlike the rest of you guys. Boy, do we have a fun show for you tonight. Tonight! Two things going on. Ladies only. No dudes can call. No dudes allowed. Ladies only. 201-332-3484. Ladies, wall to wall. Ladies on the show only. No dudes. The only dude allowed is Matt Walsh is going to call later. He's a guest. He's an exception to the no ladies, to the all ladies, no dudes allowed thing. So if you are a lady, if you are a non-dude, I'm going to expand it and say non-dudes, 201-332-3484. No dudes allowed. Sorry, dudes. You run everything, right, Mike? By all rights, I shouldn't be here tonight. I will gladly leave. The lady wants to come down. Take it away, as Paul McCartney said. And now, it is time for the best show to begin. Go. Go, best show, go. Go. There you go. Oh. Ah.
Show, and you know that it's the best show, and it'll
out, everybody. The Best Show is back on a Tuesday night. Tuesday is Best Show night in America. Sunday is football night in America. Tuesday is Best Show night in America. It's comedy night in America. It is fun night in America. Tuesday used to be a night where America did what? What TV shows were famously on Tuesdays? Well, what shows were on Tuesdays? I don't know. What? The Happy Days? Was that a Tuesday or a Thursday? I don't know. But now Tuesday night stands for the best show and only the best show. And this is the best show. My name's Tom Sharpling. I am here until midnight, and boy, do we have a special show for you tonight. First things first, we got Matt Walsh calling in later, you know, from the Upright Citizens Brigade. From Veep. He's going to tell us all about his new movie, A Better You. And a bunch of other things. But the main thing is that tonight, no dudes allowed. You got that, Mike? No dudes allowed. I wonder in what the Vegas odds on how many dudes Mike lets through tonight are. What are the odds right now? What would you say, Dudio? 11? You say zero? You think Mike throws a no-hitter tonight? Boy, you know who could have used him? Your New York Mets. And seriously, my condolences. In all seriousness, I know I teased all my fans of the Mets who listen to this show. I was teasing you about how they were destined to not win, and it was the best thing that could happen to you, that they wouldn't win. You couldn't handle victory. That a Mets loss is probably the best thing for you. I think I would have liked to have seen what happened if you guys won. I would have liked to have seen Mets fans drink from the victory cup that I drink from every week at midnight upon the conclusion of an episode of The Best Show. The cup I sup from. Sup? Sip. I sip from the victory, from my victory chalice at the end of every episode. And no one does it like The Best Show does it. They can't touch it. Right, Mike? They can't touch it, these clowns. They think they can touch it. They can't touch it. Tonight, no dudes allowed. If you're a dude, you ain't getting through. Let's go to the phones. And the phone number is 201-332-3484. Let's go to the phones and get this party started. Besha, welcome.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
Teresa from Kentucky, or Euphoria Fish and Chat.
Teresa from Kentucky. How are you tonight, Teresa?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. How are things in Kentucky?
Well, let's see. What's good in my life is I got to try improv for the first time this past weekend.
You did?
Yeah. It wasn't anything big. It was a Toastmasters convention plus a few people from the filmmakers group that I'm in.
That's big.
And just a free acting workshop playing Who's Line Game.
I think that's fun. How long were you up there for in total?
Well, I was a little bit nervous about movement. I'm on crutches, so I didn't want to get up for like the human. I wasn't sure how the human machine or puppeteering things were going to go for me. I wanted to observe this time.
Mm-hmm.
But for the party game, guessing who's at the party, that was fun. But I was given Jeb Bush, and I realized, like, I just went blank. I suddenly knew absolutely nothing about Jeb Bush. All I could do was kind of pretend to be a politician and say, no, this is like a great opportunity for me, and I can't wait to tell you what I'm all about eventually someday when I actually know what I'm about. maybe somebody else will give me a clue what I'm about.
Mm-hmm.
And well, then guy playing Donald Trump walks in and has an easy time of it because there are Trump sound bites all over the news.
Yeah,
you know?
It's Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Do you think, do you know he's hosting Saturday Night Live this week? Did you know that?
Sort of.
Do you remember the last time he hosted? He said these magical lines. We've got a great show for you tonight. Toots and the Maytals are here. He actually said he had to, like, that was the band. Toots and the Maytals were there.
Wow.
With him. Who's there this week?
Did they play Funky Kingston?
I wonder who's there with them this week. Who's there? I wonder who's there. Skrillex? You think Skrillex is there? We got a great show. Diplo and Skrillex are here. Right? They'll do all that stuff?
Yeah. Like, whatever. Because Donald Trump likes to win parties, and they need a good club party going for him to win. So Skrillex would be perfect.
We got a great show. Leon Redbone is here. He's going to do the Mr. Belvedere theme. You ever watch that show, Mr. Belvedere, Teresa?
I miss that show so much. I was just a kid.
Well, let me tell you about it. But first, I want to tell you about the music I played. I played Limonanias. I'm so bad at that.
Limonanias, is that lasagna with lemonade or lemon on a cat?
What? Lemonade on a cat? Are you Wesley Willis?
I was trying to parse Limonanias, and I wasn't sure if it was like lemonade lasagna or a lemon helmet to put on cat.
I thought you were throwing some Wesley Willis songs my way. We heard their song, I've Got Trouble in Mind, from the album of the same name put out by the label Trouble in Mind. The great record label Trouble in Mind.
That's
such a good label. And before that, we heard Wimps from their new album, which came out on Kill Rock Stars. I think this week. I think it came out this week or last week. The name of the album is Suitcase. And the song we heard is Vampire. That's so good. Kill Rockstars is such a great label, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I've heard a little.
Heard a little bit? We got a great show for you tonight. I wonder who could be the musical guest this week. We got a great show for you tonight. Who would be there? Keen is here, right?
Does he have some relationship with the Kardashians?
What if Keen came out and played that song?
Or is that just...
Remember that one song? Oh, simple thing, where have you gone? I'm kidding, it's getting hard and I need something to rely on.
That's so the sort tell of thing, me the now, more you hate it, the louder you have to say.
You're
going to
let me in. I wonder if they would do that. They'd go back to the well, be like, why don't they just have bands do that on SNL rather than play two crummy new songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got a great show for you. Dead Moon are here tonight, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Dead Moon come out. The Dirt Bombs are here. That'd be so great. Weird Paul. We got a great show. Weird Paul is here. The pride of Pittsburgh, Weird Paul. Well, Teresa, congratulations on doing improv. That is not a small thing. Were you nervous?
Well, a little bit, mostly about movement because and getting up and repeatedly. But, like, I am a person who likes to sit at home and write jokes, but is not used to collaborating with other people and needed that badly.
It's good. It's good to do, though. It'll help you with your joke writing. Your joke writing will get better. Look,
I feel pretty confident when I'm alone in my room. I think I'm so funny, and then I publish it to Twitter, and it's one star.
Well, Teresa, I appreciate you calling, and congratulations on launching your improv career.
Yeah.
And you have a grand evening.
You too.
Bye. Yes. Dudes are not allowed on the show tonight. The only dudes allowed, Matt Walsh, will call up in a little bit. We'll talk to him. But outside of that, no dudes allowed. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Francis.
Francis, where are you calling from?
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. What's going on tonight, Francis?
I was going to talk about something relating to the 100 worst characters of all time thing that you did a while ago.
Yeah. You know you should talk about is oil in that squeaky door I just heard. Right?
Yeah, maybe.
They don't have WD-40 up there in Winnipeg?
Probably somewhere.
Did you ever see the movie My Winnipeg?
I don't think I have.
It's good. It's about your town.
Mm-hmm, I'm sure.
You should watch it. So what do you have for the topic we did a bunch of months ago, the 100 worst characters?
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go.
A caller brought up a certain character. I can't remember which one it was, but you said that they belonged on the list of the 100 worst, like most depressing characters of all time. And were you to make that list, I have one for the list.
Maybe we'll do the 100 most depressing characters of all time.
Yeah, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Charlie Brown, way up there. Charlie Brown's a loser, right?
Yeah.
Look, this guy's a loser. He never kicks a football.
Because, like, everyone's always just rude to him, and he never does anything about it. He's always just like, yeah, I'm a blockhead.
And first of all, what's his goal? To be a kicker in football? That's really his goal?
Well, doesn't he, like, try and lead the team at some point, but everyone just fails and they can't get any sponsors or something?
That sounds like Wayne's World. You sure that's Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
Do you have Wayne's World up there?
Yes, we do.
What's your favorite thing on television?
Either Gravity Falls or Steven Universe.
Oh, Steven Universe. Guess who does a voice on that?
I do believe that you do.
Me!
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. Do you want me to give you an autograph right now?
Over the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your name again?
Francis.
To Francis. Thanks for watching. Tom Sharpling.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thanks. You too.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's
this?
That
was really cute. This is Marissa from Portland.
Marissa from Portland. Which Portland? Maine?
Portland, Oregon, yeah.
The real Oregon. One. You guys hate that there's a Portland in Maine, don't you? It brings down the whole Portland franchise, right? Where you got these fishermen. Well, you got these fishermen are talking, right? They're in their law. They're
right,
they're waiters.
Lozenges.
Yeah, they're holding lobsters, right? Pulling lobster traps out of the water, and you're like, yeah, that's not what goes on in Portland.
We're like, we don't care until it's on a bicycle.
Yeah, you guys are pulling the thing out of the water and it's got heroin in it. Right, the traps out of the out of the ocean.
Yeah, it has heroin and special appearances by.
So what's going on tonight?
Nothing. You're just doing an all ladies night, so I thought I'd call in.
It is.
I called in.
You're sick of these dudes, right? I'm sick of them. These guys.
Yeah.
Just call it. Blah blah blah. Blah, 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 right?
Sure.
They're a snooze.
I don't know, you're talking to somebody that lives in Portland. All the dudes here are snooze.
What was that?
Oh, all the guys here are snooze.
Look, there's plenty of good dudes out there, just like there's plenty of good ladies out there. And there's plenty of ladies who are a snooze also.
I'm just trying to
tilt the balance the other way for once the phone lines don't get clogged by all this gray paint that these dudes are. It's like gray paint. It's like a giant can of gray paint dumping it all over everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll go like this. Best Show.
Oh, hey, Tom.
Yeah, what's going on tonight?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. So when I called in a few weeks ago,
yeah.
my darling husband in the background started talking like Jimmy Stewart. And I mentioned it in passing.
Boy, that sounds charming. And not like anything you get sick of immediately at all. But don't worry, you're with him forever.
Right?
You and that Jimmy Stewart impression are together till the end of time.
So I thought I might explain to some people why he does that.
And which impression is he doing? What's he going, Mary, remember that? Harvey, no. Mary. He's moaning about someone, Jimmy Stewart.
I'm scared of Jimmy Stewart.
Why is that?
And so he'll follow me around saying everything in a Jimmy Stewart voice. I'm scared of Jimmy Stewart because the first movie I saw him in was Vertigo.
Yeah.
And so that was my introduction to his brand, and like, it sort of lit everything else in that context.
Yeah.
So I didn't see, what is it called, It's a Wonderful Life until after I saw Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
So if you impose the Vertigo character onto the It's a Wonderful Life character, it's like a really manic, terrifying person.
Yeah. Vertigo. When's the last time you saw Vertigo?
Well, I watched it a few years ago with my husband, who had never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a terrible mistake.
Is that what started the impression?
That's what started it, yeah. Oh. And now he'll follow me around. Everything I say, he'll repeat it in a Jimmy Stewart voice.
I'm telling you, you got to flush this dude. No offense. I'm not here to, I'm not here to tell you. I like this one. Look at this one whiner. Shouldn't Sharpling have played only girl bands tonight? Yeah, well... I believe that was a woman singing in Limonanias, and I'm not sure about the wimps, I think. Let me see what this picture of the wimps looks like. Oh, there's a woman. Okay. Yeah, why don't you monitor you? Why don't you go get your ears cleaned out, Mark? These dudes, they can't. They're pushing back so hard. They're so mad at this that they're not allowed to call tonight. They're so mad. They got their britches all knotted up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Their britches. Mike didn't, and Mike, look, I'll tell you this. AP Mike fought me on this tooth and nail.
I don't believe you for a minute.
He said, this is the worst idea.
I think you're telling tales.
No, this is what I heard. He said, these ladies are bad. They're bad callers, Tom. I just think he just didn't want to be put under the microscope of having to vet to make sure nobody was doing a fake voice. Has anyone tried yet, Mike? Not yet. Not like, hello, I'd like to talk on the show tonight. Hi, it's me. I'm a lady. Let me through, Mike. That's Mike. Mike's a good guy, though. He's sad because the Mets...
I think he just didn't want to hang up on anyone.
He's sad because the Mets lost in the World Series, and I wanted him to win on his behalf. He did.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him in the Canyon of Heroes, which is where... that's where they have parades when New York sports teams win. And that's the walk for me, the walk from here to the car is the Canyon of Heroes every Tuesday night. Because every show wins.
We all have to take our Canyon of Heroes with us.
But seriously, this is this show, it's like you hear these other shows, right? They're all terrible, right?
No.
No, not my show. These other shows. Like these other podcasts. You ever hear these other podcasts? Name a bad podcast.
I don't listen to a lot of them because they're really boring.
Yeah, well, name a really bad one. So, and I can just go, hey, you said it, I didn't.
I don't know. I don't listen to the bad ones.
Just name one you were just like, yuck. Then you checked out and you were like, yuck.
I don't remember those kinds of things. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. Well, look, I appreciate the call. Thank
okay,
you so much.
Thank you.
You have a great
day. All
evening.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye. The topic for tonight is why... do I bother? And that is the hashtag over on social media, why do I bother? And I've got a story that is the definition of why do I bother. One thing I do want to tell you, though, my friends, if you're looking for a domain name, this is what you should bother. You go to internet.bs. That's right. Internet.bs. Internet.bs. These dudes heard about the best show. They heard us say, hey, we'd like to get some advertising from people who are fans of the show. And then internet.bs rang the bell. Lean and mean, man. They run a lean and mean organization up there. 10 people. Not some giant corporation with hundreds upon hundreds of people. They're not spending their money on the frivolous stuff. There's not ice statues or caviar fights in the boardroom. No. They run a lean and mean organization, and they pass the savings on to you. Now, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about domain names. And you need a domain name if you want to get a website, start a business. Everybody's got to have a business and a website for their business. So everybody needs to go to internet.bs and lock down their website. It's simple. Low on the upsell when you go to the site. They don't make you click through a bunch of products you don't want just to get the domain name. Consistently the best price registrar in the market. They offer a large range of domain name choices. And they give you things like free private whois, free web forwarding, free email forwarding, and free DNS management. Internet.bs is the domain registrar of choice for subject matter experts all over the world. That's web designers, developers, SEO gurus, among others. All the internet boffins use internet.bs. Maybe I'll get the name internetboffins.bs. What about that? Well, all these boffins are certainly using internet.bs because it's the lowest cost and easiest registrar site going in the whole registrar universe. Easy-to-use customer portal gives you total control of the management of your domains. So get this, my friends. You want to buy a domain, you go to internet.bs. It's that simple. They're running a promotion right now on .us domain names. Now look, .us is the domain name for the United States of America. I'm surrounded by these anti-American people like Mike, Dudio. Not me, man. I fly the flag. I'm a patriot. And I support the U.S. I support .us domain names, and I support internet.bs. This is what you do. You go to internet.bs/MikeRulesTom. Not crazy about that still. They're still keeping that active. They love Mike for some, not for some reason. I get why I love Mike. Mike's great. internet.bs/MikeRulesTom. And you get a .us domain name for just $5. internet.bs/MikeRulesTom. You get a .us domain name for just $5. internet.bs. Go there. I'm going to the phones. I'm being told that there is a famous person on the hotline. I'm being told to disregard these normal people, that there's a celebrity looking to join the program. And I'm being told it's Matt Walsh. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
This is now, for people who don't know who Matt Walsh is, I'm going to just tell you, you'll know who this is. He's that guy. He's that guy in a thing. Like, you see, who's Mike on Veep? You know him from that. Who's the guy from the, what do people recognize you from, Matt? The Tornado movie?
Into the Storm. I was just thinking, can we just create a pre-recorded resume before I get on the air?
Like, to just say, like, who you are?
Yeah, I think, like, just to cue people in.
You know him as Mike McCready. Mike McCready? That's a guy from Pearl Jam.
Right, Mike McClintock.
Mike McClintock. Okay, how about this? He's from, you know him as Mike McClintock from HBO's Veep, and the guy from Into the Storm, and the Upright Citizens Brigade, and now he's on The Best Show. Let's welcome comedian Matt Walsh to the program. How's that?
That's perfect.
And he's the director of A Better You?
A Better You.
Which is, you directed and wrote it? Or?
Yeah, with Brian Husky.
How do you, this is the thing. Look, I'll be honest, Matt Walsh. When I first met you, I was like, this dude is one of the funniest guys going. But you seemed like a performer, up, down, every which way. Like, you were the performer, but now you're behind the scenes on things? Just, it shames the rest of us. It shames us.
Well, you haven't seen the movie yet. Maybe I'm no good.
Maybe. What if I watch the movie? I'm just like, ooh, okay. Now I know how he's doing both things.
One of them not as good as the other.
No, people like the movie.
They do.
And the movie. What's the one liner on the movie for when you're on? Say you're on. Comedians Unleashed, and you have to give the quick one-liner to what's-his-face. Who's the guy on Comedians Unleashed?
I don't know it.
It's that show where it's a Byron Allen.
You ever seen it? Byron Allen. It's that show. Okay.
It's on at like 2 in the morning, and you'll look, and it'll be like, oh, it's Bobby Slayton and Kid from Kid in Play. It'll be like...
Yeah.
So what
feels
is?
Like it feels like it's produced by the guy who did Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, it feels like they're shooting it on their set at night, like when those guys would leave.
Like, maybe a Vegas hotel room is what I'm guessing.
Where they aim, where they slide that movie poster at that angle. You ever see that? Where it's just like it's at the 45 degree angle. The movie poster.
On a simple easel, maybe some red curtains in the background, and two modern stuffed chairs. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
For that perfect 4-minute conversation that you have
with Byron Allen,
Billy Bob Thornton walks into the room. He's like, "You get 4 minutes with me," and then you get two questions, and then he gets up and walks out. So a better you. The plot of this is what?
A hypnotherapist who can fix everyone but himself.
Okay. And it's got Brian Husky, who's super funny.
Yep. Horatio Sands, who you love.
Super funny.
Andy Daly, one of the funniest humans on the planet.
Super funny.
Aaron Hayes, amazing, funny gal you might know from Children's Hospital.
Which is a super funny show.
Super funny show. And then you got drop-ins by, Parvesh Chhina. Do you know that guy?
Parvesh Chhina?
Chhina. He was on Outsourced with me.
Okay.
You got...
Rob Hubel is
a nice run in there.
Nick Kroll.
Yeah.
Joe Gare is in this? Did he win a contest?
Joe Gare is in it, and he has a moment.
Okay. It sounds like, look, when I see a list, no offense to Joe Gare, who I think is a great person, I'm looking at a list, I see... Andy Daly, I see Rob Hubel, Brian Husky, Horatio Sands, Natasha Leggero, and I see Joe Garrett. It sounds like he won some sort of auction to get in the movie. Like one of those.
It's kind of like putting a. He's a scenester. You know, he follows the comedy scene.
All right, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And where can people see
Joe Latrullio? Joe Latrullio. Just to mention another wonderful performance in the movie.
Super funny. And where can people see this movie, Matt Walsh?
On a transactional on-demand portal.
Okay. So if I was on iTunes.
Time Warner Cable, DirecTV, your Hulus, your PlayStations and Xboxes, apparently.
Yeah. All those places, yes. You can get.
Or a betteryoumovie.com.
Yeah. And people should go do it as soon as this show's over. This is what I'd say. Listen to the show, but pull the trigger on a rental, and then you just watch it, and then you come in late for work tomorrow.
Yeah, and if you like it, give us a review, because that's what gives you traction in the internet space.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard. A lot of good movies out there. A lot of talented people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But this is a special cast, super funny, and I think you'll like it, Tom.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Matt Walsh, I wanted to ask you something. You are known, who do you get mistaken for? Who when people say, oh, you're the guy from that thing, who do they get it wrong?
I sometimes get Louis C.K.
Okay. They think you're Louis C.K. You ever do anything with that? You ever get like, you're like, yeah, it is, it's me, Louis. Hey, I lost my wallet. Can, just hit me up on Twitter at Louis C.K. I'll send you $40 back if you give me 20. No. So.
My name is Louis C.K. and I just need gas money to get this job interview.
Yeah. Isn't that always the funny thing when somebody's like asking for money and you know their thing isn't true, but they have like, they give so many extra details as if like you've never heard when it's just like, look, I was trying to take the, I got to take the bus. It's the 842 bus.
Yeah.
And I need, yeah. And it's always, the amount is always like, I need $11. Like, it's always like an off amount. But I figure if anybody's going to ask and they're going to work up a story, I give them money. If they're in the spot, if life has put them in a position where they have to do that, I give them money.
I don't, because it's not real. Like, I always give musicians money.
Okay.
But those guys, I don't. Sometimes I do, but generally I don't. If it feels like a con artist, I never do. I'm like, get out of here. I don't say that.
So am I actually extending their con by giving them money?
No, you're doing, probably someone who is down on their luck a favor, or at least in that moment they're down on their luck, I'm sure. So it's not, I don't know.
All right. This, I guess this is the internal conundrum of what, of whether you give or you don't give. I give. And look, I'm not putting a value judgment on Matt Walsh with this, that he doesn't give when someone says, hey, I need some help, and he...
No, don't mischaracterize that situation. The situation is, if it's a con, if it smells like a con and I feel like I'm being conned...
Okay, then you just...
Then I can't. I just have this reaction. I'm like, I can't give a con artist money. But if somebody's in real need, yeah, I give... Mm-hmm. I always have, like... bottles of water and energy bars. I'm always giving stuff like that out at every, like,
so,
you know, where you see the regular men and women who are always there.
So you're just, like, looking to support, like, Joe Lunchpail. And, like, if he's just, like, thirsty after a hard day out on the construction beam, out on the high rise, you're there with an energy bar and a bottle of water.
I'm usually seated. I don't drive through construction sites very often.
Now, Matt Walsh, you are from Chicago. Yes.
Yeah.
And you are a Chicago Cubs fan, right?
No, not really. Oh. I guess, sure.
Okay.
I'm a Chicago fan. I don't care about baseball. I'm not a baseball guy.
Okay. Because this guy who screens calls for me, Mike, he's a giant Mets fan, and he could not be more sad over their collapse. I just figured, as a Chicago sports fan, sure, you had the Bulls, which was an unnatural situation, and you're all being, and the Bulls will be punished for the next 100 years because of that unnatural situation. Yes.
Yeah.
Generally, if you put a statue of someone who plays for the team while they're still playing for them, if that stands, you are courting fate. You're hubris.
That statue did not go up when Jordan was playing with the Bulls.
That statue was out there when he came back.
Really?
Yeah.
The second three?
Yeah.
On the back three?
Right? Mike.
You might, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the statue was there during the final run.
United Center statue, Jordan.
Imagine pulling up and there's a statue out front of you. The hubris. That's like Moby Dick level hubris. That's like man trying to fight a whale. So you, but look.
Right.
Long story short, this
right,
guy Mike
right.
he's despondent, and I figured you had the Bulls. Sure, that was like a fluke, but on the whole, Chicago is not exactly a city of champions. It's a lot of frustration.
Well, we have the Blackhawks running the table lately.
Okay. Blackhawks, but the Bears, all that mighty Bears team won one championship.
Disappointing.
Yeah, the idea that Mike Ditka has one ring, but then you got that Tom Coughlin, the weird old man, has two. Guy who seems like a guy who would scream at trick or treaters. Kind of, I said I don't give candy out.
Read the sign. That's why I put the sign on the porch.
Exactly.
No trick or treaters. What are you still doing here?
What do you kids want? Come on. I'm just trying to rake my leaves again. Like one of those guys who rakes their leaves like way too much, where it's just like, all right, I'm going to go back out and rake my leaves again.
Or hoses down the driveway. We had a guy in my neighborhood who every day would hose down his driveway.
Like what is he worried about?
There's a couple new rocks, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, he's not running. He's not running like a speedway where any sort of rocks or any debris is going to be a problem.
And he would edge his lawn. You know how people put that like 1-inch edge on it?
Yes.
That's so very like anal retentive.
So what advice can you give Mike to overcome his sadness over the Mets, turfing out? Pretty much in an epic fashion. Because I'll say this, you're not in New York anymore. You're in Los Angeles, Matt. You should have seen these Mets fans walking around in all their brand new Mets jackets. I tell you, the lines outside of Dick's Sporting Goods of people returning their Mets stuff must be out the door with people trying to bring back Mets jerseys and hats. Because all these bandwagon people, but the toad that was hovering over this area with these Mets fans, they couldn't handle the pressure of winning it all. They were cocky.
Here's the conundrum, and I know, Mike, you're listening. I think bandwagon fans own the team just as much as the hardcore diehard fan.
Oh.
And that's what hardcore diehard fans need to realize sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't know how that's going to comfort him.
Well, I think it's something to meditate on. Because all the attention and all the journey and then all the pop-up, like you're saying, mm-hmm. Mets paraphernalia and Mets coverage and Mets celebrity,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, maybe, I don't know. There's something there. I can't fix it in one session, but just meditate on that.
You got that, Mike? He said yes. He's going to meditate on that.
And if he comes back with something, I'd love to find out what he learned.
He'll go way deeper. You're not going to want to hear the things he comes back with from this journey he's about to go on.
Oh, wow, like a vision quest?
Yes. Now, Matt Walsh, you are a member of the Upright Citizens Brigade, formed in Chicago.
You bring that up every time we talk on your shows.
Well, people admire the UCB. The one thing I do want to find out, though, because I have a hard time with the order of things in terms of the original cast of the UCB and, like, when you joined. Did you join UCB before or after Paul Scheer was involved in the theater, for example? Like, were you there?
Tom, do you know I'm taking literacy classes so I don't curse on your show?
People want you to curse so badly. That's all. Okay, so you were there before Paul Scheer. How about Chris Gethard? Did you predate him, or did he introduce you to the theater and say, "Hey, Matt, check this place out"?
No, I was doing UCB before Chris Gethard. That's true.
So you're like third wave.
You got a timestamp. Me, keep going.
Third way. So, before Paul Scheer, not after Paul Scheer, Jack McBrayer, yeah. Before or after?
Jack McBrayer came out of Second City, actually, so I think Okay. Before Jack McBrayer.
All right, let's see. Who else? Trying to think. Who do you... Because it was... The original group, but you were in Inside Vladimir.
No, that's not true. I don't think I ever saw Inside Vladimir perform.
All right. Were you a part of the thing when they were going to throw the dude off the roof and it was like, which to me still, like, is one of the most upsetting and funny things imaginable, putting flyers up saying someone's going to jump off a roof. This is not a joke.
I was not around for that show. I was around, but I didn't do that show.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I had twin shows before that.
Isn't it funny, like, when you're, like, young, you're like, yeah, I would love to see, this is the greatest thing, watch these people get freaked out. And then now you get a little older and you're just like, yeah, that's super upsetting. Maybe we don't need to...
Yeah, we did a bit in an irresponsible bit in our UCB show in Chicago before we moved to New York, where I came out and said, there's a incident next door. The ambulance needs to get into a parking lot. There's a green, Toyota Camry. Please move it. Then I come back later in the show and I read the license plate. We pretty much know that everyone at that restaurant, someone in this room has that, please move your vehicle. It's an emergency. Uh-huh. And then we came back again. I come back again and announce that person, the ambulance couldn't get to them and that they died.
Oh, my God. And then,
that's not funny.
No, and back then you guys were like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, did you see the look on their faces? Now you'd be like, why are you guys lying about these things? It's hurtful. Because you're...
Yeah, you don't think anything through. You just think, that's a cool idea. Let's try that.
Yeah. You find the line. The thing is, you can't still be doing it, because then it would just be like, yeah, this guy's a huge bummer. Get away from him. He's been doing things like that for 20 years now, and all he does is upset everybody with his lies. then you'd be the guy who got kicked out of every improv theater, and you're just like, I'll start my own. And then you start your own, and you get kicked out of that one once a few people join it.
Yeah, there's a coup.
Yeah, and just like, hey, we talked about it. We appreciate everything you did, starting the place. Yeah, but I think we're going to go on without you. It's like being that dude in the Rolling Stones, the keyboard player who they booted out, Ian McLaughlin, when they're just like, oh, this guy's the backbone of the group. And then suddenly they're like, yeah, but he looks terrible in these pictures, so we're kicking him out of the group.
What year was that?
That was at the beginning of the Rolling Stones.
Wow, like mid-60s?
Like early 60s.
Early, wow.
They gave him the boot because it was just like this dumpy dude playing piano, and they're just like, I think we want to look cool, and you're not helping with that. It looks looks like we're in a band with our uncle. It's like everybody wants to know why our uncle is in the picture with us. Now, Matt, I'm going to ask you, Matt Walsh, some rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
What is the dumbest purchase you've ever made?
I'm trying to be rapid. The thing that comes to mind are like brackets that I'll never put up, whether it's a shelf or a wall mount for a television. I'll buy it. I'm like, I'll do this. And then like, I never do it.
Okay. So shelf brackets.
Shelf brackets. Yeah. Those, I have purchased more than those than a man should.
Okay.
Who cares about money? Who cares about money?
What is the most popular movie that you've never seen?
Maybe you can help me.
Have you ever seen Titanic?
Yes.
Have you ever seen, I don't know what other ones?
Star Wars, yes. I met a girl the other day who hadn't seen Star Wars. She was 24.
Shawshank Redemption.
Of course.
I've never seen
it. Godfather. You've never seen it?
No, I've never seen Shawshank Redemption.
It's a good one. I don't know. Probably the Entourage movie?
That's a pretty good one. You should check it out.
For real?
It's pretty good. Gronk is in it.
Is he?
Gronk, yeah. Wait till you see this guy's act. They let him out of his cage.
That's almost worth renting.
Yeah, Gronk.
Just to see Gronk.
Gronk angry. Gronk hungry.
Gronk, yeah.
Gronk,
shattered forearm.
Gronk said.
Gronk shattered forearm.
What's the longest you've ever gone without sleeping?
Oh gosh. I bet I've pushed 60 hours, close to low 60.
Ooh, that's pretty good. That's a good run.
Yeah.
When I asked Ellie Kemper this, who you might know as somebody, I don't know if she was at the theater before or after you, I'm not clear on the timeline on that at the UCB. I think she had a pretty low one. Hers was like 11 hours. Like, Matt Walsh, what is the most embarrassing thing you've ever said to a celebrity?
Oh. That is a great question. I may have put my foot in my mouth around Al Yankovic, but I can't remember the quote.
Okay.
It's another good celebrity one. I don't know.
All
right. Good one.
Weird Al, though. We'll say Weird Al.
My brother-in-law, let me just give you an anecdote. My brother-in-law met Dan Mazur, who worked on Dog Bites Man, created it.
Sure.
Also created Bruno, Sasha, that whole world.
With
Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced him. He came to Saturn. We're hanging out. Dan's funny and nice. I'm like, Dan, this is my brother-in-law. Nice to meet you. My brother-in-law. And I'm like, Dan did all those L.E.G. And I was trying to reference his work, whatever he'd done up to that point. Maybe Bruno or something. And my brother-in-law's like, yeah, L.E.G., never cared for that. Never really don't like that show.
That's the... And that kind of, like, passive judgment is the worst of all. Just like, well, I'm completely level-headed here. That's not my thing. Don't want to. Never cared for it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brutal.
Never found any interest in looking at that thing.
Yeah. That's brutal. Final question for you. Who does not get their just desserts in this life, Matt Walsh?
Tom Sharpley.
Oh, that's not true. For me to have you as a guest on this show means I've gotten everything I could ask for out of life. I'm now just waiting for the Grim Reaper to show up and take me away.
The fickle finger of fate.
Yes. Now, again, your movie, A Better You, is available on all digital media platforms.
Correct.
And people should watch it because it's funny.
Yeah, or they can go to a betteryoumovie.com and they can review it if they like it.
And people, okay, people should give you the vote, the vote of confidence. And people can talk to you on Twitter over at Mr. Matt Walsh, M-R Matt Walsh.
Yes. How's your Twitter, Tom?
It's pretty good. I'm hanging around 100 grand on it.
Holy cow. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, I haven't budged in a while. These things, you just sit there with it now. Nobody joins Twitter anymore. It's dying.
What's the number? What's the next number you're excited about? Like 105? Like you have a mental?
I just
like,
got I'm a hair below 100. I got to just break 100. I broke it, and then they killed off bots, which I clearly had some bots in there. They killed them off.
Oh, you
know the egg accounts. You know, in an egg account, you see the thing with an egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had I'm sure I had those that were just spamming me. And they killed them, and now I'm hanging below 100. Where are you at?
Did you kill them, or did Twitter kill them?
Twitter killed them. I would have let them live all the live long day. I didn't care.
I didn't know you could go backwards with Twitter. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at 130.
Wow, that's the power of HBO. When does season six of Veep?
Five.
You're filming season five now.
Yes. I think we're paired up with a show called Divorce.
Oh, get ready for that, everybody. That's an hour of entertainment you're never going to know what to do with. Your heads will explode.
An hour-long comedy?
You're just going to laugh for an hour. It's going to hurt to laugh that hard. When does it come back? When does Veep come back?
We always come back in April, usually later in April.
Okay. All right, Matt Walsh. I'm so glad you called in. I'm so nice to talk to you again. You are always one of my favorite people, and you're somebody I'm proud to call a friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Lovely chatting.
Yes. You have a great night, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
You too, brother.
Bye-bye. That was nice. What's wrong, Mike? Mike's throwing a fit out there. We'll talk about it later. What, somebody getting on you? A dude? All right. Come on, lay off Mike. What are people bugging him for? For goodness sake. Guy's just trying to do his thing out there. Sure, he's, you know. It might not be the most refined guy. I know that. We all know that. Now let's go back to the phones. No dudes allowed tonight. Besho, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Charlotte.
Charlotte, where are you calling from?
I am calling you from Louisville, Kentucky.
From Louisville.
Mm-hmm, Louisville.
What's going on down there in Louisville tonight?
Well, I think the city is suffering from a general disappointment from the election outcome this evening.
What
happened? But I just enjoyed a turkey burger, and I'm listening to the best show. So all things considered, I'm okay.
Good. That's good. What happened in the election? I was not following the Kentucky elections.
Well, Matt Bevin won the gubernatorial race.
Okay.
And he is... It's a little questionable, I think.
What's the cool thing that he does that makes him relatable? Like, what's the cool thing? Yeah, the thing where he's like, I like horror movies.
Well, no, I mean, I guess the cool thing would that be he goes to cockfights, but he does a lot of other awful stuff, mm-hmm. which makes him a terrible candidate.
Cock
but the cockfighting thing is, yeah,
so weird.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a cockfight?
No. I would never. Not in a million. You couldn't pay me to go to something like that.
No, I don't think I would attend one of those either.
The worst. Well, I'm sorry your election did not pan out the way you wanted it to, Charlotte.
Yeah, me too. But, I mean, I went and voted, so I did my part. But.
Yeah. And now you've got a turkey burger and you've got the best show.
Mm-hmm.
Take
indeed.
You through the evening. Now, can I, if you'll just hold for a survey.
Sure.
I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to the Best Show Survey. This is a survey evaluating the quality of your call and the quality of the call screening. On a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the worst and 5 being the best, rate the person who screened your call.
4.
Was the call screener effective? On a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the worst and 5 being the best.
4.
Did the call screener sound inebriated? On a scale of 1 to 5, how many beers did it sound like he had?
3.
Did the call screener sound in any way like he was bringing his own personal agenda to your call? From 1 to 5 of not... of he brought none of his personal agenda to 5, which is he pretty much dictated what he wanted me to say.
4.
4. On a scale of 1 to 5, how long should AP Mike be a part of the show? 1 being he should be removed from the studio tonight, or 5, he will outlast Tom and do the show.
4.
4! All right. Thank you for taking this survey.
You're welcome.
Have a grand evening.
You as well.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
I'm Brianna.
Brianna, where are you calling from?
Albany.
You're in Albany. What's going on in Albany tonight?
Also elections.
Sorry, what's that?
Also elections.
The elections in Albany?
Yeah.
What are you guys voting for up there?
We've got mayoral elections.
And what happened with that?
Actually, our guy won. It was kind of a good story.
Uh-huh.
So.
All right.
I wanted to tell you that we watched Fort Tilden after you mentioned watching it.
Mm-hmm. Did you like it?
I really liked it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought...
But it was really good and really funny.
Yeah. I think Bridie Elliott is super funny.
I definitely... Which one was she?
She's the brunette.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But they're both very funny. I'm not picking teams here. This is not... Aren't there too many teams going? You know, when everybody's like, I'm on team blah, blah, blah. Right?
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm on team this. And I'm like, can't we just be on team?
Women?
No, team Earth. How about that? How about team Earth? Right?
Well, it led us to another movie that was kind of similar called Apartment Troubles.
Apartment Troubles?
What's yeah.
That, a Jerry Lewis movie?
No, it had like, it also starred like two broads, and it was directed by a woman, and it was kind of about them like wandering around the city. It was good.
All right. I will check it out.
Okay.
Have a grand evening.
You too. Bye.
Once again, tonight, no dudes allowed. 201-332-3484. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Laura in Toronto.
Laura in Toronto. Laura, are you going to see Sharpling and Worcester live in Toronto?
I bought my ticket the second they went on sale. I was one of those nerds sitting there refreshing.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
And for people who don't know, Sharpling and Worcester are playing live in a few cities. I want to tell you which ones. Saturday, November 28th, Toronto, Ontario, at the Mod Club. Sunday, November 29th, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Comedy, finally, comes to Cambridge, Massachusetts, after a century of false prophets providing, quote, comedy with their Harvard Lampoon, doing their parodies of Insurgent or whatever they're making fun of, right? Finally, real comedy shows up. Mark it down, eggheads. Here comes some real laughs coming your way. Sunday, November 29th, Cambridge, Massachusetts at the Sinclair. And Sunday, December 13th, Sharpling and Worcester end their triumphant 2015 live tour schedule. Philadelphia at Union Transfer. Sunday, December 13th. And you can get tickets over at StereoLaughs.com/tour. That's StereoLaughs, LAFFS.com/tour. So what's up tonight?
I had one for the topic, but when you were talking to Matt Walsh, I remembered that not only have I never seen Titanic, I have to go to a Titanic-themed party on Friday and dress on theme, so I don't know what to do now. How do you dress as someone who's never seen Titanic?
I have never seen Titanic either.
Oh, no.
I watched the first half hour of it when he was, like, gambling or something, and I was just like, yeah, it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who do you watch? And the boat's going to the ocean, right? Who cares? The boat.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Oh, no.
And I was the target market for DiCaprio and everything.
Here comes the iceberg. Look out. They're all dead anyway. Except
right?
for that one old lady.
You know what's going to happen.
She's 100. Yeah. These movies where everybody's dead in them, I have a hard time watching them sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Braveheart. Watch. Oh, Braveheart. We have another movie I've never seen all of. Braveheart. But you're watching Braveheart, and then you're just like, yeah, wait, all these people have been dead for 600 years. What do I care here? Happens. Right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've got no time for history. Come on.
Exactly. Me neither.
Yeah.
I want to make history. The best show is supposed to be making history, but we're not.
Absolutely
right now.
It is.
I want to tell you a story about, because the topic tonight and the hashtag on social media is, why do I bother?
Mm-hmm.
You ever have those moments where you're just like, all I try, why do I bother? Why? Like banging my head against the wall, right?
Yes.
Every day, I've been doing this drive every day, right? There's this one part. You, where were you from again? I'm so sorry.
Toronto.
Toronto, of course. Of course, Toronto. So I'm doing this drive. I do this drive on this. We have this thing called the BQE, which is maybe the worst road on earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this part where it kind of like everybody merges on it, where it pretty much merges from 35 lanes to 2 lanes. Just imagine that.
Ugh. That's gross.
And at one point, a year or so ago, I was merging on that, and some dude cut me off. This is a year ago. Some dude cut me off, and I, like, threw my arms up, in my car, right? This dude, no joke, pulls over, cuts his car at, like, a 45-degree angle so no one can get past, gets out. It's a cop. He gets out. He starts screaming in my window. When you throw your arms up? When you throw your arms up? People trying to drive. It's like, well, first of all, you cut me off, you rat. You rat cop. And this rat's screaming in my face through the thing. It's like, what's wrong with you? Get your head examined, you kook. Cop screaming in somebody's face because he did something wrong. And then he's like, I should bring you in.
Yeah,
bring
reacting.
Me in.
Sure.
Wait, bring me in. Yeah, I should have said, go for it. Bring me in. He looked like the dad on Frasier. You know that look when a guy like that is in a rage? Imagine getting screamed at by Orson Beam. You know Orson Beam? Imagine that guy screaming at you. Or the dad on Frasier just screaming at you. He's screaming.
Well, thank you.
And then I was watching a video about 6 months ago this cop pulled over a cab or an Uber, something like that, and got in the thing and started screaming. It was the same cop. I felt like I met a celebrity, actually. It's like, ooh, I got screamed at by that guy.
Yeah, before he was famous.
So every day I do this drive, and every day people cut me off on it. I do the right. I'm in the correct lane. I've been cut off, no joke, 5 times by this one type of van that they, what these people do is they drive along the edge of it and they pretend they don't know that that's where the turn is. So they go all the way to the final moment and then they go, can you let me in? Like, right? Mm-hmm. You know that move? Which is fine if you don't know where you are. Everybody's been in that boat. But this guy trying to cut through. He's got a sticker on the back of his thing. It literally says BQE on the back of his van. It's like, wait, why am I sitting in the correct lane for 20 minutes moving an inch at a time? And this goon just rolls up at the last second and just makes like he doesn't know where he's going. Oh. And I'm just like, why do I bother, right?
Yeah.
We all have those though, right?
Yeah, absolutely we do.
But why do we bother? Why? Why do we keep going?
What else are you going to do?
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. Get screamed at by that cop. I tell you what I wanted to do to that guy, man. I tell you. I wanted to. Oh. You know what would have been the greatest thing is if he's screaming at me, and then if a car drove by and clipped him. I would have loved to see. Not that he would get hurt, but just like knocked down, like brushed, right? Like he gets hit by the passenger side mirror, right? Like right in the stomach, gets a wind knocked out of him. Oh! By somebody like sliding by. Passenger side mirror catches him right in the stomach, knocks a wind out of him. Oh, love to have seen that.
Yeah.
Oh, please make that happen. Make that happen if you're up there, big guy. That cop screamed. I mean, it really was. It was like the dad on Frasier screaming at people. And he pulled over to scream at me. Pulled over and blocked both lanes of traffic. You rat. If it was the old days, the 1800s. You know what I would have done? I would have gotten out of that car, would have taken my glove out and slapped him across the face. Right? Psh.
Yeah, absolutely. That
just
would
imagine that. And the two of us would have squared off right along that long stretch of the BQE where you can see the skyline in the background. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I have not been there, but I can, you know, you're painting a pretty vivid picture. I can picture a skyline in the background.
Thank you. Well, look, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
Have a grand evening. Everything better out there? Better? Good. Who's good here, Mike? 4. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jackie from Winchester, Virginia.
Jackie from Winchester, Virginia. What's going on in Winchester, Virginia tonight?
Not a whole lot, but I have something for the topic.
What do you have?
All right. So every day I go to work, and every day my dog comes into my bathroom and messes up the bath mat and just flips them over and tears them up out of anger.
Uh-huh.
And every day I fix them and I put them back in their place. Yeah.
And then every day the dog does it again, right?
Yes, exactly.
And it's because the dog misses it.
Why do I bother?
I know, why do you bother? But the dog is like, why are you leaving me every day?
Yeah, I know, and I feel bad.
Yeah, what are you going to take?
What can I do?
There's nothing you can do. What do you get? You take the dog to work, you'll get fired, then you'll both be out of luck. Right?
Yep.
You say to the dog, well, I told you that's what would happen if you started. What if you just talk to the dog as if the dog understood everything?
I try to explain.
Well, I told you. I took you to work. I got fired. You happy now? I told you it would happen. I got fired. You had to tear up the bath mats every day.
Yep.
I wonder what you could do. You know what you should do?
Well, I mean,
dog a big bone. Can't you get one of those big bones? Like one of those, those dinosaur bones?
Multiple dinosaur bones throughout the house. And I try to remember to close the bathroom door, mm-hmm. but in the morning, that's not going to happen.
It's not happening. You're groggy.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. So every day, come home, mm-hmm. bath mats everywhere. I have to put them back.
You know this. You know Dudio. You know who Dudio is?
No, I don't.
I know. He's the guy who built the studio, Dudio. We call him Dudio.
Okay.
He was telling me about he met a famous cat, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? When he was on a vacation. You know what this guy
what
did?
What kind of famous cat? What does that mean?
It was like a cat from a TV show or something. He was bragging all about the cat. I met the cat. The cat from the TV show. And then the cat, I was hanging out with the cat. You know what he did? He took the cat. He took the cat home.
Stole it?
Yeah.
Who? Who was the cat's owner?
He just took it from the owner. I said, well, what about the owner? He said, they could get another cat. I wanted this cat real bad.
Does he still have it?
No, he flipped it. It's the worst part of the whole thing. I didn't even know he flipped cats.
What if that was like the house flipping reality shows?
Yeah. No, he does it with cats.
What if there was a cat flipping reality shows?
Oh, no. There should be. He would be the star of it. He has two cats now. He flipped his one cat. He got two cats.
Well, you flip the one, and then with the profit, you buy two more flipping.
Oh, no. Cats. That's what he's doing. Now he's going to say he's going to flip these two cats. He's going to end up with four cats.
You got to build your cat empire.
That's what his reality show should be called, Cat Empire, right?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Dudio, and I flip cats. Right?
I would watch that show.
You know what? I
would definitely watch that show.
I would, too.
I don't know how you improve a cat's value, though. Like, you can't, like, put granite countertops on a cat.
The problem is he starts with a cat. He starts with stealing one cat. It starts from a bad place. Right?
Well, that would be a good, like, opening scene to each episode. He has to figure out a new mm-hmm. cat to steal. Mm-hmm.
You want to know the worst thing is? He told me, and he might not want me saying this on the air, so, but I'm going to, because
okay.
I believe in honesty. Thank you. You said it's okay, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
On the cat bed, he leaves a note.
Uh-huh.
And it's folded up, and the person unfolds it. And you know what it says? It says, looking for your cat? Question mark. Call 1-800-EAT-BLEEP. Isn't that the worst thing you ever heard?
I would 1-800-EAT.
First of all, that's a number. That number must be very busy because people on the road are calling it all the time after they got cut off by people. But now people are calling about their missing cat. They must have to be like, if you call, you get like the system, and they're just like, please listen to all options as our menu has changed. If you're calling about being cut off on the road, press 1. If you're calling about a stolen cat, press 2.
What if you had a stolen cat, and then like months later, you mm-hmm. see your cat on the reality show? The Flipping Cats reality show.
Yeah, I'm flipping cats. Suddenly you're like, hey, wait, that's my cat. You know what Dudio would say? Let's make a deal.
What would he say?
He'd say, let's make a deal, bitch. But only to dude. He'd only call a dude bitch. He'd say, let's make a deal, bitch. And then mm-hmm. to a lady, he'd say, let's make a deal, lady. I tell you, this show's going to be something else. Flipping cats.
One time when I was a kid.
Is he still here? Did he leave? He left. He's done. Well, that was a nice run.
Oh, well.
We had fun with him, and I guess now we have to find someone else.
Yep.
This cat story was just too much for him.
Can I tell you another cat story?
Please.
Okay. So when I was a kid, we adopted this cat. Well, the cat ran into our house just one day.
Okay.
It became a part of our family. Mm-hmm. And before we officially called him ours, we put up all these signs saying found cat and a picture of the cat. And this really old lady came and she said, it's not my cat, but he looks exactly like my cat, so can I have him? And she went home with him, and me and my siblings just cried for days that this lady decided to take the cat that we wanted to have. And my mom called the lady and said, look, my kids are really upset. Can we please have the cat back?
Yeah.
And then we got him back, and we had Buster for another, 12 years after that.
That's awesome. You know, the one thing, you're lucky Dudio didn't show up. You see your cat on TV.
Maybe that's how he gets the cats. He sees found cat signs and goes and picks them up so he can flip them.
Oh, well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Have a great night. So here's what happened. I go to Philadelphia. This is why I came up with the topic, why do I bother? I go to Philadelphia last week to the haunted prison. That's right. Every year in Philadelphia in Halloween, they have a haunted prison. So I go down to the haunted prison, and it's really so much fun, the haunted prison. They turn this actual prison, it's not an active prison. They take this prison, a decommissioned prison? Did Dudio say anything before he left? He just left. He's gone. Seriously, he's gone? He's out. Changed the locks, right? He's out. Well, you know, we had a good run. So, go to the prison, haunted prison. There's monsters jumping out all over the place. It's so much fun. They do such a great job with this thing. And I go down with my wife and my friend Leah and my other friend Hayes Davenport from Hollywood Handbook. So we go to the haunted prison. And you got, first of all, this thing. You wear they say, hey, would you like to wear this glow-in-the-dark necklace? That means that people can touch you in there. That means the monsters can touch you. And I'm like, yeah, of course I'll wear that. Because I've been there in the past, and you know what they do? They flit up against you. Nothing too intense. I'm telling you, man, this year, these guys got to click it back a notch. At one point, I'm walking through with this thing, and my wife's walking through, and they put you into different if you're walking wearing the thing, they put you into different situations. They're like, crawl through this hole. Like, what? Crawl through the hole? What? They separate you from your group. So then we're walking through, and then they grab me and my wife, and the guy's like, get in this cell. Because it's actual cells are in this thing. Actual cells where actual people actually suffered. So you know that. You know that place is haunted, man. You know there's some real ghosts going around there. That's the only redeeming factor, that the ghosts haunt the monsters who are basically underemployed Philadelphia actors who are doing a pretty good job, I gotta say. They're pretty scary. So, grab me and my wife, take us in this side cell, and they're like, what's your name? The guy's got his hands on my head, on my forehead. Like, he's actually got his whole palm on my forehead. Like, what are you, Jimmy Swaggart here? Gonna heal me? A little gropey this year. A little too touchy. Gotta back it up, man. But I had so much fun. And then they control the flow of people going from section to section. So our group is waiting to go to the next section. And this one monster guy goes. He's like listening to us talk. Like, ooh, it's scary, right? Oh, it's so scary. I know. Blah, blah, blah. He hears us talk, and he just goes to our group, and he looks at Hayes. He goes, "Is your name Hayes?" And like he recognized his voice from Hollywood Handbook, the podcast, which is a very funny podcast. Maybe my favorite podcast, except for this one. This one's still my favorite. I don't need to ever hear it because I am it. I don't need to hear it. I did it. I lived it. I am it. Nothing comes near this one, in my not-so-humble opinion. Dudio didn't come back, did he? Do you think he's gone? Seriously, is he out? Maybe somebody contact him with a quick deal. He's outside the home tunnel flipping a cat right now. That might be the dumbest thing that has ever happened on this show. Saying that this guy, that Dudio, Jason, flips cats on the side. First he steals them, and then he flips them. So this guy goes in full monster makeup. "Is your name Hayes?" And then it's like, Hayes is like, "Oh my God, what?" And then he's like, "I'm a fan of Hollywood Handbook. It's my favorite podcast." And then he goes, it's like, "Oh, that's so nice of you to say." Then he goes, "I'm sure you know who this guy is. This is Tom Sharpling." And the guy goes, just picture this again. Full monster makeup. He goes, "Yeah, he was on Hollywood Handbook." He's like, Yeah, he was on that one episode. I'm saying to myself, you got to be kidding me. This haunted house, I'll tell you this, if the goal was to touch on someone's secret terror, this dude hit a bullseye. He hit my terror. The terror of banging my head against a wall doing a radio show for 15 years and having some monster not know who I am, but know some other show that's been going for 2 years. Tell you. Saying to myself, why do I bother with the best show? Why? This monster don't know who I am. I'm telling you, I'm looking in this guy's face. I've never felt smaller than when a guy with monster makeup goes, when he goes, "Well, you should know who this guy is then." Tom Sharpling. That was the most belittling thing that has, sorry, monster. You don't know who I am. Yeah, you really are a monster. Tell you what you're not a monster at is, listening to podcasts. You're very meek. You only listen to Hollywood Hand. Can't listen to the best show? 15 years banging our heads against a wall doing this. Man, they tapped into my worst fear. I realized I'm in a haunted prison. A haunted prison called The Best Show. And I can't get out. I'm trapped in this thing. Oh, but don't worry. The guard doesn't know who I am. I could probably walk right by him. I'm here to imprison the host of this thing. Yeah, he's in there. Oh, okay. So you never heard it? Nope. I heard the guy in Hollywood Handbook once. Oh my God. Haunted. I've been haunted. Since then, I've been haunted. Thanks, monster. That guy got me, man. Why do I buy it? Why? When do I get that guy on board? 15 years I've been doing this thing. Hemorrhaging money. This thing is like a leaky boat, man. Leaky boat on the oceans of water. Oceans of money. Why do I bother? And that's the topic. Why do I bother? He's not back yet, huh? He's done. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, it was like one of those things when, like, it's like, in this haunted prison, we will reveal your true worst fear. Yeah, mine isn't some dude with a fake chainsaw, or the chainsaw with no blade on it, going, brruh, brruh. They know a lot of those this year. There have been previous years at this haunted prison where they were very heavy into bladeless chainsaws. He just sold two cats. I can hear him out there. He's bragging he just sold two cats. He's going to rub his dirty cat money in our faces after the show. He sees these cats. All he sees is dollar signs. We see little fuzzy friends. He sees just a box full of money. Cat flipping. And the poor people that own that the famous cat. They got that note. Looking for your cat? Call 1-800-EAT-BLEEP. Man, that haunted prison, that got me bad. Best show, you're on the air.
Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Mary in Brooklyn.
Mary in Brooklyn. Do I know this Mary?
Yes.
Are you an entertainer?
Yes.
Are you a comedian?
Yes.
Are you an artist?
Yes.
Were you just on Prove It All Fright with Pat Byrne?
Yes.
This is Mary Houlihan. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Except for the fact nobody knows what this show is, apparently. I've been flushing. I flushed a sizable portion of my life down the tank trying to bring it back. And only to have some guy in horror monster makeup have no idea who I am. But he knows a show from 2 years ago that started 2 years in. Well, whatever. It's not about that, is it? Yeah, it is.
Well, you know what? You're not doing it for that guy.
Clearly I'm not.
Well, good.
So what's going on with you, Mary?
Oh, not much. Just hanging out.
Just hanging out? You painting anything? I look at your paintings on Instagram. You put a lot of paintings up. You do such great.
Oh, yeah.
You had a great a Jeff Lynn painting I saw up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who else did I see? Marky Smith? God. Was there a Marky Smith painting?
Yes, there was a Marky Smith. There was a Joey Ramone, Lamb Chop, Jerry Blank, lots of dogs.
Would you paint AP Mike? Would you paint him?
Oh, I would love nothing more.
This is the painting I would like, and I will commission this.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to get, if you would paint AP Mike and Dudio carrying, in fact, bump AP Mike. No offense, AP Mike. Scrap him from this painting. I don't want to make him near. No, we'll figure out our own AP Mike one. The first commissioned work I would like to receive would be Dudio carrying a giant pyramid of cats, right? Outside the Holland Tunnel.
Sounds good.
Okay. And the AP Mike one, I'd like to, can you get a copy? This is what he did today. I tell you, well, the show can just be about these guys. He comes in. You know that movie Black Mass that came out?
No.
With Johnny Depp. Remember the commercial where Johnny Depp was wearing his Halloween costume a month early? Where he's like, I'm bald now and I got blue eyes. Right? But I shoot everybody. You know? Mike brings this bootleg copy in of Black Mass. The copy of this thing, the cover, looked like an outtake from Black Mass on the cover. Like the lettering was off. It just like, and I was like, well, how's this copy? He's like, yeah, not so good. It's got the aspect ratio changes during the movie.
What?
And occasionally Chinese subtitles pop up.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He knows that movies are just like available in theaters, right? That you can just like, you can, rather than watch, rather than pay $10 for a street copy, you could pay $11 and see the movie in perfect condition in a comfortable movie theater. It's like $1 more. But he's watching it now with Chinese subtitles. What's going on, Mary? Do you have any shows coming up?
Yeah, I got some hot shows.
Where are your shows? Tell us about your shows. What is a show like? What is one of your shows like?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Sometimes I do stand-up, and they're kind of like jokes and impressions. I don't really talk about myself.
Okay.
But then my show, Cartoon Monsoon, it's kind of, I guess the closest thing is Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Okay.
So we live in a house, me and my friend Joe, and we have another friend. He's a puppet, and kind of like the two of us versus the puppet most of the time.
Okay.
And
when is that happening? When is that happening?
It's November 21st.
November 21st. What is that?
And every show is different because we get scared that our friends won't come every time, so we feel like we have to write a new show.
That's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Where is it?
At the Annoyance Theater.
Okay. My friend Nick. Is that guy Nick there, right?
Nick.
Nicholas Fatel.
Oh, yeah.
Good guy,
Boy.
He's a good guy.
Did you know that John Fogerty was on the Leonard Lopate show recently?
Was he?
It's true.
And how?
And
what was the dumbest thing Leonard Lopate? Leonard Lopate probably just heard about John Fogerty beforehand.
Yeah. So he confronted him about lying about being from the Bayou.
But was he lying about it? He's from the Bay Area. It's not like he pretended he wasn't from Oakland or wherever he was from.
He was very classy about it.
John Fogerty was?
Oh, yeah. He handled it like a pro.
I like John
He was
Fogerty.
Just saying, you know, well, I just like music from there.
Yeah. Leonard Lopate. Yeah.
Leonard always sounds super confused with whoever the guest is.
You know what would get him in order? A swirly. That's what he's at. That's what he needs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Leonard Lopate. Would you give Leonard Lopate a swirly at your Cartoon Monsoon if he showed up?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Well, Mary, where can people find you? At Mary Hooley? Is that what it is?
That's right.
All right. You should come down here some week. That'd be fun.
It will be fun when it happens.
Let's figure it out.
Ah!
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Erica from Baltimore.
Erica from Baltimore. Is this the Erica from Baltimore?
It is.
It's so good to hear from you. It's been so long since we've spoken.
I know.
How are you?
I know. I'm good. I just had a baby.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Like 10 days ago.
And what's the baby's name?
William.
William? That's a nice
name. Yes. Yes, and we have Henry, his older brother.
You wouldn't consider, still not too late... AP Mike is the name of the baby. Just AP.
Well, I was able to fill out like the vital records, social security information by myself because my husband wasn't there. And I said I could have put anything on there.
Yeah.
You know, kind of given carte blanche as the mother to do whatever I wanted. But no, we stuck with William.
What's going on down in Baltimore?
Oh, just baby times for me. I had a high-risk pregnancy, and I was almost on bed rest for 9 months. So I'm happy not to be pregnant, happy to have a baby, and...
happy to be back on the streets.
The mom thing.
Right?
No, yeah, we're all back in my bed, but for a couple of weeks anyway. Okay. I got a couple months off work, and so far this time is a lot easier than the first time because pros.
Look, all that matters is that everybody's healthy. That's all that matters.
They are, and adorable. But my first son gives me the why do I bother, actually, which is, why do I bother cooking for a toddler? So I can't tell you the number of times I've gone out of my way to make fun-shaped grilled cheese sandwiches or delicious homemade muffins or whatever, only to see the glimmer in that child's eye, he's 3 and a half, when he says, I will not eat that. Mommy will eat it.
Because mommy got a little too creative with the grilled cheese.
Or just whatever, you know, like one week he talked about wanting to try cauliflower for like a week. And I'm like, you're not going to like that.
Yeah,
like, what?
Yeah.
Why do you think you want to eat that? He's like, I will eat it. He gets very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will try it. I will eat it. I made it. I made it delicious.
Yeah.
And he just looked at it, and he looked at me and said, no.
Not happening.
No.
Didn't leave the runway.
Not happening. Not happening.
Well, look,
so
you tried.
Sorry.
That's all you can do.
Right.
Just try.
He can exist on cheese sticks and Raisin Bran and whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. Get him on crab cakes, right, down there in Baltimore?
Well, actually, when he was like 18 months old, he would eat pretty much anything. But he did, we gave him a chunk of like jumbo lump crab cake, and he dropped it on the floor, and we were like, that's your only chance. Like,
that's
you
it.
Do not waste a crab cake.
You don't do that
in
Baltimore. And look, I know you're my kid, but.
That's right.
You know, that only goes so far when it comes to crab cakes. Right?
They're premium. That's our premium food here, you know?
Yeah. They run. That's like it's like currency down there. You can buy things with crab cakes.
Even like the crappiest pizza shop has better crab cakes than most of the country. So we do have that going for us.
All right. Maybe I'll come down and get some crab cakes.
You should. Don't get them from pizza shop, though.
Check under your seats. Everybody's getting crab cakes. That's when Oprah did her show in Baltimore. Check under your seats. Everybody's got a copy of
when she was on
Pink Flamingos and Crab Cakes, right?
When she was on Channel 2 with Stu Kerr and the guy that did Elmo, whatever his name was, Kevin Cash.
Elmo.
Elmo came from Baltimore.
Elmo's from Baltimore.
The guy that did Elmo's voice started off doing puppets on Channel 2 News or something. I guess it wasn't the news.
Maybe we'll get him on the show to talk about his Baltimore roots in the Elmo voice.
Yes, right. We all like to talk about our Baltimore people like to talk about Baltimore things, you know.
All right, Eric. We've got full phones tonight. Full phones.
Do it.
It's so
ladies,
good to hear from you.
Ladies night.
So good to
yes.
hear from you again. Call again.
All right. I will.
I'm so glad you're doing well also.
I am.
You
Thank
take care
you.
Of yourself. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Well, I'm being told. Exciting. Okay. Yeah. If people know, a couple months ago on the show, we started a thing that we were hoping would continue, and it looks like it is going to continue. We have a music correspondent. His name's Toby Rafelson, and he called in with a report from a Death Cab for Cutie show. And he's actually on the line now. He's got a report that there was a big Foo Fighters show sold out at the Newbridge Rock Concert Arena, and I'm being told that Toby is on the line with a concert report. Toby, are you there?
Hi, Tom. Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. Oh, my God. What a night.
Uh-huh. Is it pretty exciting over there at the show?
Oh, my God. That's the understatement of the century.
Uh-huh. Well, what can you tell us about it?
Well, Tom, the Foo Fighters have been on fire since they started this tour this summer. And the show tonight in Newbridge has been full of that top-shelf rock we've come to expect from them.
Okay.
The Foos opened with Learning to Fly, and they rocked out a hit-filled hour-long first set that has left these 8,000 Foo heads panting with desirous expectation for set number two.
Uh-huh. But set number two?
Yes.
So They're doing two sets, so is it like an intermission now?
Yes, that's right, Tom. Everyone's getting their beer on, waiting to see what Dave, Nate, and the rest have up their sleeves tonight. Maybe they'll bring up Corey Harris for a spirited version of Mother 13's Wired? Or maybe Barry Dworkin for a heavier-than-F reboot of Rock and Roll Dreams Will Come Through. It's anyone's guess.
Uh-huh. Huh. Huh, really? An intermission. I mean, I'm just a little thrown by that because, I mean, I know people like Springsteen will have intermissions in their show, but, like, I didn't think a band like the Foo Fighters, I would not have expected them to have an intermission.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the audience needs the time to get its bearings set after being pummeled by that three-guitar attack.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, I mean, it's like, it's like 10:52 right now.
Right.
I mean they should be back on stage by now, right?
No, not yet. No. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I mean, did the show start late, Toby?
No, why?
Because, you know, I mean, it's an arena show, and you know, I would have assumed that the show would have been well over by now, because, you know, most arena shows end like before 11, so that people can get out and get home.
Huh? Well, I'm not sure what to tell you, Tom. It's a Foo's world. We're just living in it, right?
Uh huh. Hey, Toby.
Yeah.
Uh huh. I'm looking over at Twitter right now, and people are saying the Foo Fighters just finished their second encore.
Huh.
Uh-huh. And they're saying they're closing with I'll Stick Around, so I think you're missing the show. You should probably get back in there.
Oh, no. No, that's cool. I'll hang out here and get people's comments when they come out.
Well, Toby, I mean, for the sake of the concert report, I think you should probably go back in there and see what's going on, because it's one of those things that it could end up being some sort of like big extravaganza the way you were talking about.
Nah, it's cool. I'll just stay out here and get people's reactions on the way out. I think that'll be very exciting.
Uh-huh. Well, no, it won't.
Yes, it will.
Uh-huh. Toby, hey, you know, you're supposed to be doing a concert report. I'm not sure why you won't go back in to watch the concert to do the concert report.
Because my name wasn't on the damn guest list, okay?
Hey, oh my God, you were bragging to everybody all week that you were going to be hanging out with the band and watching from sides, like the side of the stage.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing, that would have happened
If what?
Nothing.
No, what?
I hadn't douched myself. Out of good grace.
What was that?
If I hadn't douched myself out of their good graces, why?
Uh-huh. Well, how did that, how do you mean?
Well, you know, when I was told I got press credentials for the show,
mm-hmm.
I was super excited.
Okay.
And I started tweeting the Foo Fighters about how they better be good or I'd give them a bad review and I'd ruin their careers.
Uh-huh.
You know, just kind of like joking around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, can I ask if you did it just once?
Sure you can.
Uh-huh. Did you do it just once?
Well, define just once.
Uh-huh. Well, how many times did you do it, Toby?
156.
You tweeted 156 wow. Tweets.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were all that kind of jokey, but really, truly belittling kind of thing
right.
People do that's funny.
Yeah.
Maybe one time. But
becomes, you don't think it's funny a lot?
No, because the kind of thing that becomes like super annoying after just a couple, but you did it how many times?
156.
Uh-huh.
Look, I couldn't stop myself. You know, some people saw it and they retweeted it and a bunch of people favored it and it was like heroin to me, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I was just craving more and more retweets. You know, I needed to quench that insatiable thirst for approval.
Uh-huh. And then I'm guessing that the Foo Fighters got tired of it pretty fast and revoked all your press credentials and your privileges.
Yes, it was so humiliating, too. It's like I finally managed to get Sheila Larson to go out with me on a date. And then all the way to the ticket window, I'm bragging really loud for everybody around us to hear that we're going to have a proper foos hang, you know, before the show, and then we're going to party into the wee hours with them at Los Amigos.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got to the ticket window.
Yeah.
And there were no tickets at all. And everybody was staring at me, wondering what I was going to do.
Uh-huh. And what did you do?
Well, I did what any self-respecting adult male would do in that situation.
Which is?
I caused a massive scene and was escorted off the premises by armed security guards.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Okay. So you got escorted.
I did. Really hard. They were grabbing my arms.
Uh-huh.
Like there were two guys on each arm.
Yeah.
Remember those Indian arm burns we used to give each other?
Yeah, yeah. They,
I guess they're called Native American arm burns now.
Sure. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah. I was getting those.
From
really
from security.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you know what hurt more?
What's that, Toby?
When Sheila went off with Taylor Hawkins' drum tech.
Uh-huh. Well, I got to say, Toby, this is insane. And were you at any point going to tell me that you didn't see any of the show?
No. I was going to keep up the charade of what I'd been, I don't know, charading? Is that a word?
No.
Yeah. Well, I was going to do that. And I'll tell you something else.
Uh-huh.
I'd have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for you meddling kids. Remember that? Remember that line? From Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, yeah. No, oh no, I remember the line about I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids, sure.
Yeah, the baddie used to say that at the end of every episode.
Uh-huh. Like the very realistic, grounded guy who was usually just like a small business owner.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the hot one? Was that Velma?
Well,
no,
they were
no,
both.
Velma.
There was Daphne and Velma.
Daphne. It was Daphne,
uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, they're both hot in their own way, right?
Yeah, well, they're both attractive, sure. I mean, it's a pretty attractive group of people.
It was. I think some things were going on in that van. Was it called the Dream Machine or the Green Machine?
Look, Toby, this is not. I'm not here to talk about Scooby-Doo. Don't try to change the subject.
Well, what cartoons do you want to talk about?
Well, I don't want to talk about any cartoons. You wasted everyone's
Zoom?
Time tonight
do you
with a
Zoom.
What?
Zoom.
Zoom. The kids
we're
show.
To Zoom. We're going. To, yeah. We're
Toby,
going to
stop
we're
it.
Going to Zoom,
okay,
Zoom,
stop.
Zoom.
You know, you wasted my time and the audience's time with a fake concert review, and now it's just not cool.
You're right. I'm sorry. I let you down. The death cab report was pretty good. I thought I could continue it on to this one.
Mm-hmm.
I blew it, though, and I want to make it up to you, Tom.
Uh-huh. And how can you possibly make this up to me?
I don't know. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God, Tom.
What?
You're never going to believe this. Oh, my God.
Yeah?
There's a quad-footed doodle boop in the woods over there, right behind
Stop.
The Coliseum.
Stop lying, Toby. That's okay. I can't go on with this anymore. There's no such thing as a quad-footed doodle boop. And I think you're done here as the concert reporter.
I'm sorry, Tom. You're right. I lied to you all night, you know. I don't deserve this job, and look, I'll leave you alone from here on out, okay?
Okay.
For the best show, this is Toby Rafelson. Oh, my God! No!
Wait, what? What is that?
Oh, my God! It's
Oh, you're right. Yeah? Toby? Oh, there goes the line. Oh, brother. I'm also being told that in 10 minutes, there's going to be an episode of Gary and Mike at the Movies. So that should be coming up shortly. Let's go back to the phones. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Caroline in Athens, Georgia.
Caroline in Athens, Georgia. What's going on in Athens, Georgia tonight, Caroline?
Not a whole lot. Things are good. I have one for the topic.
What do you got? The topic being, why do I bother?
Yeah. And I want to upfront kind of own that I'm complicit in this. I keep returning to a situation, and I know I shouldn't bother, but I keep bothering.
Uh-huh. What is it? What's the situation?
I'm friends with... Sorry, I don't want to cut you off. I'm friends with two people who keep dating and then breaking up and then, like, getting back together again.
Yeah, you're sick of the drama.
Yeah, and, you know, every time, you know, he breaks up with her, she'll get really upset. Like, I want to be the supportive friend, so, like, go spend time with her. And, like, I've always, when you're being, like, the post-breakup buddy, the other person, like, always tells you all the bad things about their ex, and you're supposed to be like, oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%, you're so right. Yeah. And this time, she turned around and told him that I thought he was being rude to her.
Well, that's, so you got hung out to dry.
I did.
Not cool.
I got framed.
Not cool. You know what? Situations like that, I can't stand them. People, they drag you in, and then you talk to them, and then they use it. Not cool. Not cool. Then you're the bad guy all of a sudden. Right? Yeah. You're the bad guy.
I was asked to bother, and I bothered, and now I regret bothering.
Yeah. No, Carolyn, you're the bad guy. You're the bad, you know.
It's true.
They got to keep keep it in their house. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah. I know so many people who do that, but for some reason, these are the two who I'm always invested in.
I've been on the wrong side of a few of those. Not cool.
Uh-huh.
Why do you bother? It beats me.
Exactly.
Well, you know what you do? Cut ties. Just tell them, I can't go here. You be friends with both of them. You just say, not doing this again. Not playing this game. This is your business, not my business. Take care.
100%.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye. Best Show, you're on the air.
Tom! It's Candace who calls in to sing.
Oh my God! The shriek. That was like it was like Carol Burnett,
I'm so excited.
You're gonna sing?
So long.
It has been a long time.
I know.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Do you have a song?
I have to sing to you.
You have a song picked out?
Yeah, it's to all the ladies calling in.
Wait, who just barked out there?
Hold on.
Well, hold on. Somebody's dog just barked out there. Dudio, are you selling dogs now?
No dogs.
Okay.
No dogs.
Don't do it, dude. Come on, Dudio. I'm talking to the crew behind the scenes, Candace. They're out of control.
I hear that.
I'm going to need to clean house, rotate them all out.
Out. Clean it out.
Yeah.
I'm really good at cleaning house.
All right.
As it were. Tom!
Yes! I want to hear this song called, what is it called? The Ladies.
No, the song, it's Pretty in Pink.
Oh, I thought you
it's
said
for
the
song.
Ladies. I thought you said the song was called The Ladies Are Calling In. I was like, well, this must, I guess you wrote a new song called The Ladies Are.
I would have. Right. I would have.
Now let's hear
I
Pretty.
I thought, I got so inspired.
Let's hear Pretty in Pink. I'm going to zip my lips. And you now, the floor is yours.
Caroline laughs, and it's raining all day. She loves to be one of the girls. She lives in the place in the side of our lives where nothing is ever put straight. She turns herself round and she smiles and she says, "This is it. It's the end of the joke." And loses herself and loses herself in her dreaming and sleep. And her lovers walk through the coats, and she's pretty in pink, isn't she? Pretty in pink, isn't she? All of her lovers all talk of her notes and the flowers that they never sent. And wasn't she easy, and isn't she? E-E-E, pretty in pink. The one who insists he was first in the line is the last to remember her name. He's walking around in this dress that she wore. She is gone, but the joke's the same. She's pretty in pink, isn't she? Pretty in pink, isn't she? What do you think? There's another line.
That was awesome.
It's coming.
Oh, wait, there's one more line coming?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, one more.
Sorry.
You know, I just thought I'd add two and then...
Okay, I'm quiet. I'm zipping. I'm quieting down.
It's a little instrumental. You have to remember the song, so we're still, like, listening to...
Okay, all right.
A little bit more. Caroline talks to you softly sometimes. She says, "I love you," and too much. She doesn't have anything you want to steal. Well, nothing you can touch. She waves. She waves. She buttons your shirt. The traffic is waiting outside. And she hands you this coat. She gives you her clothes. These cars collide, pretty in pink. Isn't she? Pretty in pink. Isn't she? That's for you, Tom.
Well, that was fantastic. Thank you, Candace.
I know. You're welcome.
All right. Call back.
Ciao for now.
Take care. Bye.
Ah!
Best show!
Hello!
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Emily in Stratford, Ontario.
Emily in Stratford, Ontario. What is the closest city to Stratford, Ontario that maybe I've been to?
Well, it's about an hour, maybe an hour and a half away from Toronto.
Ah. What's going on tonight in Stratford?
Not too much. I just had something for the topic.
Let's hear it.
Well, I was going to say, why do I bother? Because, Stratford, Ontario has two claims to fame. One of which is that Justin Bieber was from here.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool. He was just here the other day too. It's very exciting.
I like his hats. Like
yeah.
Hats.
Yeah, he seems like a cool, nice man.
Yeah, they won't look out of date at all in photos. Somebody should have showed him a picture of like Vanilla Ice and been like, "Hey dude, just realize this guy happened at one point and it's not hard to end up like that." Or they should have showed him like the call-up video by The Clash. The one when The Clash started dressing in like rags, remember?
Yeah. So that's that cool dude. And the other claim to fame is that we have an internationally renowned Shakespeare festival.
Really?
Yeah. Those are the two things.
Well, as a Shakespeare fan, I am intrigued.
Yes. Well,
what's
I
your
was going to say...
What's your favorite Shakespeare play?
Probably Macbeth.
Ah. You never say that in the theater, though.
No, indeed.
If anyone ever says that when I'm getting ready to go out on stage,
yeah,
I lose it.
Yes.
I say.
You have to do all sorts of charms against the curse that is involved.
Yeah, you jinxed me production, is what I say.
Yeah.
Like, I was backstage. I was, at that point, I was playing, I was in Greece, right?
Yes.
And I was playing the pockmarked dude.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him in Greece?
Sure.
The pockmarked guy?
Yeah.
Who did battle in the hand jive dance?
Sounds right.
Yeah. And then someone came back shooting their mouth off about Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go out, I do the hand jive. I sprain my hand.
Oh, no.
The hand jive. Because some blabbermouth was talking all about Macbeth backstage.
Yeah, he jinxed you.
Yeah. Greece. You know my favorite thing in Greece is when that there's like that. Do you ever see the movie for Greece?
Yes.
Remember in the movie there was like that John Travolta had his like crew, right? And there was that one guy who was like already going bald and looked like he was 44 years old. The guy who goes, but does she have a friend? Right during Summer Lovin'.
Yeah.
But does she have a friend? He's all sweaty. Looks like he's got sciatica.
Yeah.
It gets colder. That's where it ends. Because one night I had to step in for the dude who was playing Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do the whole thing. I had to, and then the woman who played Sandy got hurt also. I had to do both parts. You should have seen me do Summer Lovin' by myself. It gets colder, that's where it ends.
Just bragging
so
to
I
no
told
one.
Him we'd still be friends. Then I made our true love vow. And I would like run from one side to the other and like doing profile. Wonder what she's doing now. Oh boy, that was a tricky production. But when it was over, you know what they all did? They booed.
What?
They booed.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then you know what I looked at? You know who's leading the boos? Mike.
What?
Mike.
Oh.
Mike hates Grease.
Hmm.
You know his favorite.
He's not alone.
You know what his favorite Broadway show is?
What?
Oh, Calcutta. Yeah. So what can I do? What's going on tonight in Stratford? What's up? What brought you to the best show?
For Why Do I Bother?
Yeah.
I was going to say that every year, I've only been up here for 2 years, but every year they have these amazing Shakespearean productions. Being put on, and every year I dress up really nicely to go to them, and I spend a lot of time looking nice, whether it's a matinee or an evening performance. And then when I go, there's always just people wearing, like, tracksuits or T-shirts and shorts, cargo shorts. And multiple times, people have fallen asleep next to me.
Oh, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
It's like, look. It's not going to be Ocean's 11 anytime soon where everybody's walking around ring-a-ding-ding dressed like Frank Sinatra, right?
Sure, yeah.
But it's like, can you not fall asleep in your cargo shorts at the thing? Like
exactly.
These cargo short people, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they're underdressed for the beach, half of them, right?
Yes. And we're in the front row. Like, we were in the front row. We were in the second row. And in the first act, this guy fell asleep, like, snoring right next to me. And he was dressed all casually. And I had spent an hour getting ready, you know, to go to this thing. So, you know.
And meanwhile, he's going. Did he snore like that, Three Stooges style?
Basically, yeah, as I recall.
Well, why do you bother? I don't know.
Because I love the theater, I suppose.
Yes. Well, wait till you see me in the production of, what's a Shakespeare one I could have thrown out? Henry the, what?
One of them.
One of them? Henry. Is there one just called Henry?
Probably.
Yeah. I'll be in Henry. Shakespeare's Henry.
Well, I'm excited to see you in Toronto.
Yes, that's
or later this month.
That's the theatrical production you don't want to miss.
Yes, exactly.
No cargo shorts for that one.
Okay, good to know.
No Canadian tuxedos. I'm putting a sign at the door. No Canadian tuxedos.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
Did Jay Leno invent the Canadian tuxedo?
Oh, that'd be too bad.
Right? He's like the only American who really worked the Canadian tuxedo to that degree.
Yeah. He popularized it, maybe. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the call, and I look forward to seeing you in Toronto.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Abby from Cambridge, Mass.
Abby from Cambridge, Mass. Cambridge, Mass, you mean where Sharpling and Worcester are performing?
Yeah, I bought tickets.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Holla.
How are you, Abby? Are you ready for comedy to roll through?
Oh, my gosh, more than ready.
And erase,
no idea.
Erase the stink of 130 years of Harvard Lampoon, right?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, we need it so bad.
You know what they made their bones on? Board of the Rings. There was a thing called Board of the Rings.
Oh, thing.
If
oh,
I was
no.
if a kid wrote that in fourth grade creative writing, be like, see me after class. That would be what was written on his paper. See me after class.
Oh,
Board of the Rings. It was actual adults wrote that.
It's unacceptable, actually.
Board of the Rings.
It's not the worst thing that we have going for us around
don't
here.
Don't worry.
So.
Don't worry. A great cleansing will come to Cambridge. A cleansing of laughter when Sharpling and Worcester bring the noise and the laughs, right?
I bought my tickets.
Good. Thank you. So what's going on tonight?
I have one for the topic.
The topic being, why do I bother? What do you have?
Well, I actually worked at Harvard as a lifeguard.
A lifeguard?
And formerly, yes. I guarded their swimming pools.
Uh-huh. How'd that go?
Yeah, and basically it was really frustrating because you had these people that are supposed to be the smartest people on the face of this planet who cannot swim in a straight line, who look like they are drowning constantly.
Yeah. And are they just like, why can't I swim?
Exactly.
I think there's something wrong with your pool lanes.
Yes, and they will constantly blame you.
Yeah.
For, you know, the water is too cold, the pH is off, something like that. And they use, like, this ridiculous equipment. Like, they'll do, like, underwater, like, dancing, jogging, paddles on their hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things that I just, like, aren't improving their stroke at all, but they just go around in circles. Like, it is nonstop.
Mm-hmm. You know what these people would, like, what you should do? You should throw a shark in the pool, right? Not a great white, of course.
Yeah, just like... You know, a low-key shark.
You give them little chomps, right? Little chomps, right?
Yeah.
Or you throw a honey badger in. I was watching this honey badger documentary last night.
Oh, those.
Are you scared of them?
Oh, my gosh. Honey badgers? That's my spirit animal, man.
I'm telling you, man. If I was doing a caper, like an Ocean's 11 type caper, I would.
Oh,
it would
my
be,
goodness.
It would be me. Picture this, Sharpling's 11. Me. AP Mike. Dudio. Pat Byrne.
Oh my God.
And seven.
I'd
get
wait,
seven,
actually.
Seven honey badgers. Three to
Can
do
you
the
add this
break in.
To your show in Cambridge, please?
I would do seven honey badgers, four to do the break in, and three to attack those other three guys I just named. Just to watch AP Mike, Dudio, and Pat Byrne get mauled by honey badgers.
And small sharks. Oh, my goodness.
Honey badgers. But this one honey badger, man. This dude broke into a house, opened the refrigerator with his back feet, started rooting through it, eating frozen bacon.
You know, we have cats and rabid squirrels in Cambridge. So when you come here, you better, like, watch out, because those squirrels will, they will, yeah, you know, and crazy bikers.
I'm not worried about rabid squirrels. The Best Show has a squirrel that is, the only rabid quality is that you, the laughter is contagious. And he's coming on in a couple minutes. He actually, he just slipped me a piece of paper. He's actually watching me in the corner of the room.
Oh, he knows what's up?
Yeah. Well, he wants to start his show.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. You have a grand evening.
You too.
Bye. Best Show, you're on the air. Best Show.
Me?
Yes, you. What's up?
Oh, hey, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Courtney. I live in Las Vegas.
Courtney from Las Vegas.
Yes.
Where are you right now?
Oh, Summerlin.
The Bellagio.
Summerlin, as they call it.
Are you at the Bellagio right now?
Close to the Bellagio, but no, not at the Bellagio.
What's your favorite slot machine?
I like to play roulette, but the kind where you sit down and there's no dealer, and you can just kind of electronically make your bet.
Okay. What's going on tonight, yeah. Courtney?
Well, I would like to get your opinion on why I bother gardening at all in Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Because then a sandstorm comes through and wipes it all out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
you got all those buffets out there. I don't know why you're planting anything. Right?
Well, that's the thing, is I can't get anyone around here to help me, you know, with the tips on how to garden in this dirt soil and stuff. But I do like, I do like fresh vegetables and things, and there's not a lot of farmers markets.
The only thing you should be planting is planting yourself at a booth at one of those buffets, right?
No,
loading
up,
do that. Right?
No.
Right?
No, I'm not. No, no, no.
Because
no,
it's like buffets. A trip around the world when you go to the buffet. Ah, now I'm in the Far East, and I will have. I will have this inauthentic food from Asia.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's
now
falafel. It's just like you're there.
Now I'm in Italy. Let me have food that they don't actually eat in Italy.
Ah. Yeah, it's amazing.
And
right.
A grilled cheese sandwich, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. If you can get your American food right along with your Middle Eastern buffet. It's delicious and so authentic and all in one casino.
If I was where you are, this is what I would do.
What?
I'd be gambling like nobody's business, and then I would go to a buffet.
Well, they give you free buffets if you gamble enough.
Then why don't you gamble every day?
Tom.
Yeah?
I'm a fan of your show.
Yeah?
I'm a fan of your people.
Yeah.
You really take me as like
a my people, huh? My people, who? The trash, the refuseniks, the
hard hats.
The hard hats, yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you... what would you say? You're a fan, but here comes the but. What?
But I need advice on your fans around the world. You've got lots of Portland fans. You've got lots of Seattle fans.
Yes.
I need to know how to grow beets and or what will work in the desert for me to build a garden.
I know.
At Red Rock in Red Rock.
Well, I know one flower that has blossomed out in the Las Vegas desert.
What?
Brandon flowers from the Killers, right?
No.
When there's nowhere else to run.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Las Vegas national anthem, isn't it?
He's the University Crest flower.
For all these things that I've done.
He's our flower.
He is the state flower, Brandon Flowers.
That's official.
Is his dad really Waylon Flowers? That was really his father.
Who? Oh no.
But his mother was not Madam, right?
Madam.
No, yes, Madam, the puppet, Madam.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
Remember that?
I can't tell you. I really don't know the killer's trivia.
You know when people say, like, oh, Entertainment Now is so terrible. It's like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
This guy, Wailing Flowers and Madam, this guy made millions of dollars with the worst puppet act you've ever seen. The uh-huh. best thing about uh-huh. that show was his hat wear, his choice of hats.
Right.
He always had a jaunty mm-hmm. bowler hat on, right?
Yep.
To try to distract you from the fact he couldn't, he was a lousy ventriloquist.
That's what fashion's for. Mm-hmm. Distraction.
He always had a nice vest and bowler combo.
Right. Distraction from your lack of talent. That's what fashion's for.
Well, Courtney, I appreciate the call. You have a grand evening. Good luck with your gardening.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Good night.
Thanks. I said, Mike! Hey, Mike. Mickey! Mike, get in here. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. Get in here! All right, all right. The one and only AP Mike.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary. What's up, Gary?
I like that little preliminary throat clearing that preceded your entrance.
Let me clear my throat. E40 in the house. Hey, whatever happened to the E?
I don't know.
The E. Right?
Yeah.
You get it. For Ape. Ape Mike. What happened to the E? The E!
I don't know.
Get it?
Yeah.
All right, all right. What's going on? What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good.
Sorry about the Mets.
Yeah. What can you do?
Yeah, I know what you can do. Hit the baseball once in a while. I can catch it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. What can you do?
That's
hey, what can you do?
That's a
Not
good point.
Not bobble the ball when it's hit to you?
From hero to goat.
The one guy.
It's the Daniel Murphy story.
Isn't it funny the one guy's name is Wright?
Yeah.
And all he did was the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And that one, homophobe, Daniel Murphy.
From hero to goat. I think that's the title for his.
A goat would get the ball better than he did.
His memoir.
He's a goat would get eat the ball. Uh-huh. He was running from that ball. Like it was a hot potato.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, I'm sorry they lost. Personally, I jumped ship to the Royals.
After the first two games?
No, after game four.
Game four, okay.
I was like, yeah, these guys are losing. I'm out. I got to go with the winner.
You saw the writing on the wall.
Oh, boy. I did see it, and you know what it said?
Yeah.
Mets suck! Hashtag Mets suck. All right. Want to welcome everybody to a new episode of Gary and Mike at the Movies. Theme? This is a theme.
Yeah.
Catchy.
I like it.
Jesse did this. You know Jesse?
I do.
Good guy, good guy. Welcome back to Gary and Mike at the Movies. Some movie news. What's up? Star Wars new trailer? Looks stupid.
Yeah. Big surprise.
Yeah. I go to people who are like, where's Luke Skywalker?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Luke?
Yeah, boy, oh boy. Gee, I hope he shows up. Right? Yeah. Star Wars. Guys, just, you're not all eight anymore. It's time to knock it off.
Why don't they just call it what it is? Cash Cow.
Yeah.
The latest episode of Cash Cow.
Yeah. It's a new trash. Cash Cow 7, new trash. All right, bring the movie, kid, up to the mic. He's going to tell us what we're reviewing tonight on Gary and Mike at the Movies.
Tonight's movie is...
Well, why does he talk like this?
The Leisure Class, directed by Jason Mann, starring Ed Weeks, Bridget Regan, and Tom Bell. The story. William is a debonair Englishman celebrating his upcoming marriage to Fiona, the beautiful daughter of a United States senator and a renowned East Coast family. Yet William is a con man with a fake identity looking to steal funds from the senator's charitable organization. When William realizes he has genuine feelings for Fiona, he begins to regret his predicament.
Yeah, thank you. Movie Kid, is that his name?
Shut up,
Charles and Fiona.
To a long and happy life together.
Aren't they the perfect couple? How can you not vote for this one?
I want this to be the beginning of the Langston political dynasty.
Mr. Dean is at the door.
What?
No, do not let him in.
Would I miss my big brother's wedding?
Charles?
Fiona.
Nah, all I did was try to take a little bit of money from this family's foundation. I'm on the verge of a very cushy situation. I can't have you things up for me. I'm going to give you $5,000.
That'd be brilliant.
To leave right now. He has to catch a flight.
It's been cancelled.
I think it's back on.
It's like you don't want me to stay.
I'm concerned about him. Aren't you?
Someone has defecated on the Bentley.
Oh.
Let's go. Clothes off.
Okay.
What are you waiting for?
We need to take care of your brother.
I've got that piece in the strangleholds.
Watch out! Shut this up!
This is getting weird down here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
The Leisure Class was a movie from Project Greenlight, a stupid fake reality show about what it's not like to make a movie. Uh-huh. But let's pretend that it is, but it's not.
Okay.
Did you watch it? It was on HBO last night.
I did.
The premiere.
I had a feeling it might come up tonight, so I subjected myself.
What are your thoughts?
It was a struggle. I mean that opening scene, the rehearsal dinner. I thought it was taking place in real time. I mean, I think I've been to rehearsal dinners that were shorter than that.
Good one, good one.
And then it just kind of spiraled downhill from that point on.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
So dumb. Most boring thing I ever saw in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was only 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
But did you see The Martian?
Not yet.
Well, look, I'm not going to ruin anything for you. When I tell you, stuck on Mars, right?
Yeah, no, I know the story.
Yeah. That movie was 2 hours and 15 minutes long. This movie is 90 minutes long. The Martian took 45 more minutes than The Leisure Class to have a guy get stuck on Mars. Everyone leaves. He figures out how to grow plants and create life.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to Earth and they realize he's still alive. Then they come up with multiple plans on how to rescue him. And travel.
Yeah.
To millions of miles.
Not to mention the cost.
And then, but it was in 45 more minutes. All of that happened with only just 45 more minutes in an please. Everyone who made this should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
And should be forced out of show business. This is a blight on
not humanity. Only,
not only their professional lives, but their personal lives. And they should just be straight up ashamed. They should all relocate to like a boat in the middle of the ocean. It was the worst thing I ever saw.
Yeah.
I give it 0 stars and I say, this sucked. Leisure Class sucked.
Yeah, it was not good.
Not good.
What was the worst scene for you? What stuck out as just like, now it's really getting horrible?
When they went to the party and then everyone jumped in the pool.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And then one guy is like, it's like he's auditioning for like a local theater version of like Loki from the Avengers. Right? He's like auditioning to be like a Times Square version of Loki. Woohoo, it's me! Tee-hee-hee! I'm a little impish English guy! Woohoo, I'm a little imp! Tee-hee-hee!
Yeah, we never found out why the little imp wanted to spoil his brother's wedding. I mean, you know, they gave us vague details about they had a hard, you know, childhood. Their parents moved around apparently a lot. But that's all you got. And so that was reason enough for this guy.
Yeah, so boring. The guy who made the movie looked like a praying mantis.
I thought he looked more like from the Lord of the Rings.
Schmeagle.
Schmeagle. And, yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be funny and not one laugh.
It's satire!
For me, the worst scene was I thought it was going into Quentin Tarantino territory. The basement scene.
Yeah.
Where Bruce Davison had to, I felt bad for him, had to go through these theatrical dramatics that made no sense at all.
When they went in the basement, you know what I wanted to do?
Yeah.
Shut the basement door and leave.
Yeah.
Flip the channel.
Don't look in the basement.
All right, what do you give the Leisure Class?
I give it 0 stars.
Zero. I give it 0 stars, too. And I say it sucked.
It's a double zero.
You have any picks? Any movie picks?
I saw Bridge of Spies. Have you seen that yet?
No.
Maybe we could do that next time?
Bridge of Spies.
I've got a very good boot of the end of the tour that I can pass on to you.
Great. It's great to know the bootleggers are working hard on getting David Foster Wallace book tour movies out on the, just selling it in the parking lot of a drugstore.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you guys looking for?
I was surprised to see it myself.
He was on the book tour. Who wants it?
I ask for Paul Thomas Anderson movies all the time. Never seen it.
Why ask? They're all on DVD. It's about a movie on the year.
But the end of the tour, they had it. There it was.
What are you saying, these guys? Hey, you have Boogie Nights on DVD?
No, the first one I asked for was The Master. And I never got that. But they did eventually get Inherent Vice.
Yeah. Hey, movie dude. Movie dude. He's going to come in. He's got something else.
For the wrap-up.
Yeah, for the wrap-up. What else can we make fun of him for? What else we got? What other picks do I have movie-wise? So Los Angeles Plays Itself. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Dang it, you idiots! What am I doing by myself? This is the most shameful thing ever. Happy birthday to... Oh, boy, this is depressing.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
Happy birthday to you. We got... Yeah, just blow it out. Well, it took him 3 times. Oh, yeah, get the defibrillator. Happy birthday, AP Mike.
Thank you, Gary. That was a nice surprise.
We love you.
I appreciate it.
We love you.
Yes, thank you.
We love you. All right, go get out of here. Go eat your dessert. Can I go eat my brownie now? I want my brownie. Don't worry, it's waiting for you. Thinks he's going to go back out, they're going to be gone. All right, all right. The show's over. Gary and Mike at the movies is over. Let's play the song now. Farewell music. Here we go. Beep, beep.
Oh, there he goes. That was an exciting episode. And Mike got his brownies. Seriously, happy birthday to AP Mike. Now we can shut Gary's music off there. He's gone. So, what if I kept the late? I should do, somebody said I should do no dude-vember. Next week, no more dudes. No dudes next week either. This has gone so well tonight, right? And when I say ladies, I mean, it's not ladies, it's no dudes. So anybody, I hope anybody who's on any part of, I say I'm bad, like trans people, I hope they will call and be a part. Just none of these gray paint dudes, man. Everybody, it's open. The gates are open. We're showing the dudes the door once and for all, right? Bring it down. But everybody is free to call. Please, everybody call and be a part of the show. No Dude Vember. Goes to next week. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Sammy from Chicago.
Sammy?
Yes.
What's up, Sammy?
Not much. Just doing some homework and super enjoying the ladies' night. I just wanted to thank you so much. And it's really amazing that I'm talking on it right now, because this is a truly historic event.
But Ladies' Night has now been called No Dude Vember.
I love it, and I fully support it.
No Dude Vember. And look, These dudes are fine. I'm one of them. But I'm not one of them, because I'm not a snooze.
Yes.
These dudes are a snooze, man.
Yep. And I think that it's going super well. And I know I already said that, but I am just have never been more proud to be female than talking on the best show as
well,
one
that,
of us.
You might need to go find another reason to be proud to be female.
Yeah, I am scraping.
If you've never felt more proud, I don't know what to tell you. That's something you have to figure out. But what's going on tonight in Chicago?
In Chicago, it's very nice. I did have something for the topic if I could sneak it in.
Yes, please.
Sure. Okay, so I've had this come up a lot lately where I grew up in Chicago, but I lived elsewhere for a long time, and now that I'm back, I keep seeing people from high school or even grade school in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I run into them on the street. They're on the same bus as me, or they're like walking 3 feet ahead of me, so they wouldn't notice me, or they haven't seen me, or if they did, they decided not to say anything. But I don't know why. Every time I will take those two extra like lunge steps forward to tap them and say like, "Hello, how are you? You know, we haven't seen each other in 18 years, and we didn't have anything in common then, so neither of us enjoy the small talk," and I just don't understand why I keep doing it every single time.
Small talk is so hard. Oh, my goodness. Small talk is so hard. Like, when you get stuck in some moment like that, then you're just like, and you look at the other person and you realize that if you both had a buzzer that could, like, you could secretly press to end the conversation, you'd be like, you'd both press it, right?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, I know you probably don't want to be talking to me much more either, but we can't just say hi, right?
Right.
That's all you're asking for, just say hi.
Yeah.
I want to say hi, how are you, good to see you, see you next time. Not like, oh, now I'm going to pretend we're best friends. No.
Yeah. And it would make sense if maybe I had done something, like you heard me a second ago when there was an awkward pause, I just said I was never more proud to be female. That's how I feel things like that. So you can imagine how it goes when I initiate it. I feel like I'm responsible for carrying the small talk along, and it's just bad all around.
Wow. It's tricky. I appreciate the situation. Just ride it out, smile, be a good person, and if somebody else doesn't want to talk to you, that's on them.
That's really uplifting. Thank you.
You can't be responsible for their actions or lack of actions. Okay?
Okay.
All right, have a great night.
You too.
Bye. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Emma from Toronto.
Emma from Toronto? What? I know this person. How are you?
You do? Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I had something quick for the topic, if I could.
I'm going to say this.
Or that I will try to make quick.
I will say this first, and I'm not going to give any details. I'm going to give zero details.
Yeah.
When I was in Toronto in September.
Yep.
I got to say hi to you.
That is true.
And you have the best stories I've ever heard in my life.
Well, thank you, Tom. That's good to hear.
Yes. Someday.
I feel like I told you one of the best stories that I have. Yeah.
Well, I hope you will someday tell it on the show. Someday.
Oh, man, I would love to do that someday.
Well, look,
absolutely.
November was just declared No Dude-vember.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's wonderful.
No dudes for the whole month.
You're doing this.
Sick of these dudes.
It's so great.
Sick of them.
Oh, terrible.
These dudes.
Awful.
Dude, Cheeto fingers, right? They got their hot Cheeto dust all over them. What do you call those things? Scalding hot Cheetos?
Yes.
Flaming Cheetos?
Boiling hot Cheetos.
Boiling Cheetos? What are those things called, Mike? Mike doesn't know Cheetos. What are they called? Flaming hot Cheetos? Piping hot Cheetos? What? Hot Cheetos? No. I said hot. Oh, this guy.
Piping hot Cheetos.
That was my favorite song by Flying Burrito Brothers. Hot Cheeto number 2.
I'm not even going to pretend to be able to, like, follow along with
that.
Don't
worry. I barely know what I'm talking about with that one. So what's going on tonight, Emma?
Not much. I have one that's sort of, it's for this topic, but it's also, I'm wondering if the door is still open for stories about, like, dumb things that you said to celebrities one time.
Sure.
Because I have a story that's kind of both a little bit.
Let's hear it.
Is it you and
Drake?
Oh, Tom, I wish it was me and Drake.
Is it you and the dude from Bare Naked Ladies, Stephen,
Stephen Page?
Stephen Page.
It is not me and Stephen Page.
Is it you and Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys?
All the most notable Canadians.
Yes. Bubbles, Stephen Page, Drake.
Tom, can I say that one of my favorite things in the world was when you did that episode where you were talking to Damien from Effed Up.
Yeah.
And he asked you if you could think of another Canadian rapper besides Drake.
Yeah.
And without even missing a beat, you just said snow.
I did say snow. Yeah.
Delightful.
What did he do, Informer?
Oh, man. Yeah, Informer.
Yeah.
That other one that he had.
Yeah, that one might not have made it down here. As far as in America, he had one song. You might know five other ones. Those are all yours. Those are not the world's to share. Canada alone gets...
They didn't translate.
No, you got the rest of those snow songs are all yours.
They're our secret. Oh, yes. Boy. What an honor and a privilege.
So what do you have for this... What celebrity embarrassing thing do you have?
Okay. So my why do I bother is exercise and, like, going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every once in a while I'll sort of get it into my head that that's a thing that I'm supposed to be doing just because, you know, it's good for your mental health and stuff. And so I will decide to go to a gym. And it always ends up flaming out spectacularly. And about a year ago, I joined a gym, and they said, well, you get one free personal training session when you join. And so I said, yeah, sure. And I went to the personal training session, and the guy who was my personal trainer was very nice, but I don't think he was prepared for, like, how, like, I think even I was, like, uniquely kind of, like, scrawny and, like not good at doing stuff.
Okay.
And he was, like, he was trying so hard to be nice to me, but it wasn't working. And I was wearing shorts from my high school. Like, they had the high school logo, like, embroidered on them.
Uh-huh.
And a bootleg, like, Prince t-shirt that I bought at a garage sale. And, like, I was not ready to work out. But this dude was, like, very nice to me. And then this past month, I was working for a fancy Toronto magazine covering the film festival that happens here. And at one point, one of our, like, other writers dropped out, and so I had to cover a party. It was like a big, fancy film festival premiere-type party. And I don't really know how to do that. Like, that's not a thing that I've done very often. But I was like, oh, sure, no problem. And I showed up. And I didn't know anyone there. And it was very, like very fancy and very packed. And I started drinking the free wine that they had because I was nervous. And I was trying to, like, listen in on famous people's conversations that were happening at the party so that I could have something to write about. Like, I was trying to write about, like, I was trying to eavesdrop on, like, Michael Keaton and stuff, and it was not panning out. And so about 2 hours into the party and three glasses of wine, I decided that I was going to leave. And as I was on my way out, I heard a voice say, Emma, and I turned around, and it was the personal trainer who had trained me this one time, who I guess remembered my face.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, boy. And I sort of turned around, and I was like, hi. And we chatted for a second. And I said, what are you doing here at this fancy movie party? And he went, oh, it's my sister's party. And I said, really? Who's your sister? And he sort of turned, and I saw that he was standing next to Rachel McAdams. And I was like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. And so his sister was Rachel McAdams. And so I stood there because suddenly I'm, like, a little bit drunk, and I'm in a conversation with a dude who saw me work out in like, gym shorts from my high school once, and Rachel McAdams. And so I was trying to be cool about it, but I was not feeling very cool. And at one point, like, everyone else in the conversation kind of dropped away. Like, everyone sort of left or was talking to each other. And I was left, like, making direct eye contact with her, and we were kind of staring at each other for, like a good, like, 30 seconds of silence. And she was being very polite and, like, very lovely and very sweet. And I couldn't think of what to say,
yeah.
And I was really panicking.
What did you say?
And so I just went, your brother saw me lift weights once.
Oh.
And she was trying so hard to be nice, and she went, she sort of went, yeah, like, he'll do that. But before she even finished the sentence, I, like, stepped on that, and I was like, I was wearing a stupid t-shirt.
And then
she kind of looked at me, and then I kind of looked at her, and then I just, like, walked away.
That's all you can do, though. That's what it's like when you're in
it
that
was,
moment.
It was so bad.
You walk
it was
away,
so bad.
Right? you just say.
It was so slow. I didn't even say goodbye. Like, I just started walking.
All you can do is walk away. You just go. See you in the next life.
Yep.
Rachel McAdams. I'm done with, you and I are done with this one. Catch you on the next one. Yep. All the best.
Your brother saw me lift weights once.
Yes.
Goodbye.
And I was wearing a dumb t-shirt.
Yep.
All right, Emma. So that's a pretty good story. Not as good as the one you told me, though. All right.
Someday, Tom.
Someday.
Someday.
All right. I will talk to you later. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. Bye. Okay.
Final calls, then we end the show. And we're going to do the half-hour power, and that dudes can call during that because it's unscreened. Everybody can call during the half-hour power. Best show, post-show, unscreened phone calls. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. It's Ema from Madison, Wisconsin.
Ema, how are you tonight? So we just had Emma, and now we have Ema.
Ema,
I'm sorry.
Yes, that's fine. It's good. I have one for the topic.
What do you have, Ema?
So Madison has a really weird apartment rental system where you have to start looking at apartments like 8 months before you're going to rent, and everything, all leases start in August. Mm-hmm. And so it means that when you're looking at apartments, you can look at a ton of apartments. And also if your apartment is like up to be leased, a lot of people will look at it. And so I always find when I know my apartment's going to be shown that I like feel like I need to go the extra mile and making it look really great so that whatever garbage people are looking at it will think that it's really cute and I have great taste. And then I go to all these other apartments and they look terrible.
Yeah.
Like nobody's even bothered to clean. Yeah. And I just feel like,
garbage
why do
dumps.
I bother?
Yeah. Why do you bother?
Total dump.
These garbage dumps, right?
There was a rabbit living in my apartment when I looked at it and I still rented it.
Like
nothing matters.
You're like, oh, I could give you a check right now. Right?
No, this is great. The rabbit likes it.
You're in a panic. Yeah. I'm with you, Emer. I hear you.
Yep.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Have a great night.
You too. Bye. All right. Final two calls. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Roxy in Los Angeles.
Roxy in Los Angeles. I know who this is. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm sitting in my car. I just got out of yoga.
Okay.
Yeah. And I only have one for the topic because of this class. I just tried to do like a really stupid I mean, it wasn't stupid. I tried to do a handstand. It didn't work out well. I don't know why I bother. But
why you bother trying to do handstands?
Why I bother trying to take these classes? It's just like I constantly hurt myself. I'm covered in bruises.
Well, you're trying crazy yoga stuff that you can't handle?
I guess so. I thought I could handle it, but I can't.
Well, maybe.
This is a rough.
Look.
Stupid.
You might just have to go the other way. Go with the heavy bag. Go with the medicine ball that you throw around. Go into one of those old-timey tanks where your head's sticking out. You might need to go the other way. Exercise equipment of yesteryear. Right?
I don't know.
That belt, that jiggle belt. That seems like all it does is like rearrange your organs.
That always makes me think of Pee Wee's Playhouse because he had one.
He had a jiggle belt in that?
Yeah. You don't remember that?
I don't. I don't remember the jiggle belt.
I remember that. I don't know.
All right, Roxy. I got to wrap the show up.
That's fine. I didn't even listen. I just wanted to call in.
Oh, well, excuse me.
No, I really wanted to. I didn't.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Why do I bother?
Why? Exactly. All right. You have a great night.
All right.
Bye. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. It's Lisa in Orlando.
Lisa in Orlando. How are you?
I'm terrified because I don't want to be the end of the show creep.
Don't worry. You're not. You're not the end of the show creep. Why would you think I would make you the end of the show creep? What are you doing tonight, Lisa?
Well, it's midnight and, you know, I'm calling you. That's my big event of the night.
Okay.
So I've got one for the topic.
Uh-huh. What do you got?
Okay. So
where are you calling from, by the way, Lisa?
Orlando.
No, but where are you right now? In your house?
Yeah, why? Is it bad? Does it sound
bad? No. I wasn't sure if you were. It sounded like you might be outside. I thought I heard some rustling of shrubs. No? No? Okay. Look. Someone's got to be the creep.
I know.
You're not a creep. Go ahead. You're not a creep. I don't think you're a creep. You just have a sickness. You got to look in windows. I'm not putting any judgment on it. It's an illness.
I appreciate that. I can't help it, right?
Exactly. So go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. So a few people that might have been paying attention to me on Halloween on Twitter know a little bit about this. But my mom right now is in a assisted living facility, rehabbing from a broken hip. And most of the people there are very, very old and, not necessarily in their right mind capacity. And on Halloween, some of the employees thought it would be fun to dress up, I guess. And so, some of them just wore like cat ears or dressed up like a cowboy or cute, fun things. But one of the orderlies decided it would be a great idea to dress up like Darth Vader. And he had, lifts in his shoes and the whole costume and the mask and the recording of the voice and the song and the lightsaber. And he freaked me out, and I'm not in late stages of dementia, just early stages. But anyway, but it was scary. So, he was going in and checking on these patients, and at one point, one of his patients, this gentleman down the hall from where my mom is, was yelling out, "Help me, help me." It was heartbreaking, right?
Yeah.
So I got to know the staff fairly well, and I was just trying to be helpful. So when Darth Vader was not right there, I went to one of the nurses and I said, "Hey, sounds like Mr. is calling out, and he sounds terrified, and do you think maybe someone else could go in and check on him?" "Oh, yeah, I'll get right on it." So guess who goes in to check on him?
Darth Vader is what
I'm
gonna guess.
No, guy's dressed as Spider-Man, like with the mask and everything.
What are you, a party city?
Right?
This is hospital?
I know. It's ridiculous. But it was horrible. I thought, maybe not the best idea ever.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was like, why do I bother?
I'm with you, Lisa. I agree. I'm glad that you got through it, though.
Thank you. And for anyone who cares, my mom's doing great.
Good. I'm glad. Okay. That's what matters. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Right.
Have a great night.
Thanks, Tom. You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye.
All right. Best show's over. How was that episode, Mike? What? A five. What are you doing, the call-in thing? Oh, okay. Final call. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Terry. DJ
Terry? Bucci. What? Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I got a final minute of the show. You're the final caller.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you about this no dude member thing. Yeah. I don't know if I'm in favor of this.
You don't know if you're in favor of it? Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Two reasons. Number one, I love when you make fun of dudes.
Yeah.
Or anybody, but...
Oh, I'll be making fun of them. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, when you come up with funny names for people and, or you gob them or bad company them.
Yeah. Don't worry. As long as I got that one dude who screens calls here and I got those two other dudes who help with the other stuff, we'll make it.
And now this, I'm going to say this.
Yes.
Because I'm concerned for your health.
Okay.
I'm just going to break the fourth wall here. I know you very, 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 very well.
You do.
As your wife. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know how, in person, you are the world's nicest, most sweetest, thoughtful person.
Yeah.
You're like, holy sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you're a crapasaurus on the air.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
That's your thing, right?
Three hours, I get it out of my system, and I'm the nicest guy the other 6 days and 21 hours.
Right. Whereas I just feel like
I'm just crabby, and I wish I could be that nice, you know, whatever. Or anyway, or not that I'm just crabby all the time, but I just feel like, I don't know. And I feel like when you do your show and you get to, like, be the curmudgeon.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, you know, you
don't worry.
I just feel like you're going to be like, oh, I don't want to be me. I want to dump.
Don't worry.
These nice ladies. I only want to dump dudes. And then, you know.
Don't worry. No. Oh, no. This is the thing. Don't worry.
You're going to be alone.
It's going to be fine. There'll be hang-ups. There'll be bad companyings.
You're
the whole array.
You're going to have fully quality.
Oh, fully quality.
You're going to dump.
You got to be a good caller.
Company. Okay.
Yes.
A lady. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right.
Okay.
Don't worry. All right. You have a grand evening.
Okay. You have a great night, sir.
And the best show is now over. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
All right. So, everybody, I have ended the best show. Go in peace. Oh, I didn't pick any music out to say goodbye to. Man, that dog that Dudio boosted is barking. He's not going to like getting flipped. If you don't like it now, wait till he gets flipped. He ain't going to like that. I'm going to play another song by Wimps from their new album, Suitcase. It's on Kill Rock Stars. We're going to hear a song called Dump. And the best show will be back next week. And we will do the half-hour power next. Best show, post show. 30 minutes of unscreen calls. Here is Wimps. Wimps. See you next week on the best show. Good night.